Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, June 9th, 2025. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're listening over Rumble or YouTube and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us live by phone, app, or browser. If anybody would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're in the Gospel of Luke, and we're in chapter 9, being read by Alexander Scorby. Luke, chapter 9, read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel, and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because that it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and of some that Elias had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said, We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them, and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and chief priests, and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged, if he gain the whole world, and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here, which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, and healed the child, and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them, and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Okay. Right, I don't see Jan or Terry here tonight. I know, is this someone came in under my name, I guess? Who's that? It's not Jan or Terry, is it?
Could be Gerard.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering. All right. Usually they're in early and I don't see him here. So I don't know if we have any questions that were mailed in. So we'll kind of skip that tonight and see once where we go. All right. Tonight we should have quite a few new people here. Let me first say that we want to focus tonight on exactly what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance and what our plan is to try to save the Republic. We have some visitors here, and they got a lot of questions, so we want to try to stay focused if we can. People can get into the queue if you're on a phone. Looks like a lot of people are coming on the phone tonight. So if you're coming in on a phone, you hit a star 6 and a 1, and you should be able to get into the queue, and then we'll start taking questions shortly. If you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button to push to get into the queue. Okay, since we're going to focus tonight on what we're doing here and people who, like I said, a lot of new people who are trying to mobilize on their counties doing, I guess, different things. Not sure exactly what their plan is, but we'll probably talk about that tonight. But again, they're interested in our education. We have quite a bit of educational material on our website, right underneath the Education Starts Here, and that's available to anybody who wants to come on. Of course, to take the courses and to get a certificate, you have to sign in to be a member. But most of our courses are free, so we do have a few courses that we ask people to give us $5 a month or more to support what we're doing. And so there's a few courses that, again, for premium members. If you can't afford that $5 a month or more, just let us know, and we'll open up those courses for you anyway. So anyway, they're found under Education Starts Here. And if you come down, you'll see the courses we have. We have a foundation study. We have Constitutional Course 101, sort of an introduction to the Constitution course. And these are free courses. We have a civics course. We have a government by consent course, and for that course, we request people, again, to be a premium member, $5 a month or more. If you can't afford it, let us know, and we'll let you into the courses. We have a militia course, and we have a jury administrator's accredited course. And so those last three courses require people to be a premium member. For starting a committee of safety, we have a lot of information under the tab that says start a committee of safety, and you come down, you'll see handbooks, videos, and tools. And if you click on that page there, you'll see a tremendous amount of information. We have some videos. Anybody that is really going to want to participate, particularly on the county level, as committees of safety, you're going to want to go through these videos. They're short videos, but they get into the committees of safety, creating a charter, the introduction to the Committee of Safety, County Committee of Safety Charter, County Committee of Safety Resolutions, County of Cities Committee of Safety Meet Your Sheriff, and Educational Committee, Political Committee, and then a tremendous amount of information we have below that. We have handbooks. We have a Committee of Safety Charter framework that people can download and work off of that to start to create their charter. Same thing with resolutions. We ask people to stick with the framework, but people can add and do whatever they want on their charter and lay things out. I think I'm going to update the charter shortly. You know, it's been a while since we wrote the charter. You know, it looks like we wrote it last year sometime, so I guess we updated it in 24. But I'd like to update it some more, so we'll probably be doing it in the next couple of weeks. But again, there's a lot of information here. There's PowerPoints, there's MP4 videos, there's PDFs, and a lot of information, a lot of handbooks that you can download for free, how to create a committee of safety, and different handbooks for different purposes. So again, let me shut this page down. So again, tremendous amount of information there. So again, let's see if anybody's in the queue yet. Okay, we've got one person in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Again, star 6 and 1 to get into the queue if you're on a phone. And there should be a button there if push for or if you're on an app or a browser, that you can push, and that'll put you into the queue also. Okay, and again, let's stay towards the point of what it is that we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. So I'm going to give maybe a 10-minute presentation, I guess, on the layout of the work that we're doing and how, basically an overview of our plan. You know, we've got a lot of short videos and we've got a few videos that are lengthy, maybe an hour long. But I think I'm going to do a video specifically on laying this thing out tonight, that what I'm going to be laying out tonight on the County Committees of Safety, which is government by consent. You cannot have government by consent if we don't mobilize, we don't organize, and work county to county, state to state, all doing the same thing, which is taking control of our government. It's called government by consent. And there is no other way that I'm aware of doing it other than through Committees of Safety. You know, the original committeemen, the Republican Party has a committeeman. It's called, of course, the Republican Party. And the Democrat Party also has committeemen. And their purpose, of course, is to put people on to the ballot. That's their main purpose. They were taken over many, many years ago by the minions of the New World Order, because the original committeemen were our founding fathers, and they were called, their organizations were called Committees of Safety. Every colony had a Committee of Safety. And all the colonists came together, working together, and to order to be able to ultimately come up with the Declaration of Independence. It was the Committees of Safety that brought forth the First Continental Congress. It was the Committee of Safety that brought forth the Second Continental Congress, which gave us the Declaration of Independence. It was the Committee of Safety that organized and elected presidents for a 10-year period as they were fighting the Revolution and then eventually creating the Constitution through debate, which we can look into that in the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers. And it was the Committee of Safety that each of the colonies worked within their own colonies in order to govern themselves. They wrote their own law, and they ran their courts, and they did all the necessary things to survive as a society, and all 13 colonies were doing that. After the foundation, which is the Declaration of Independence, of our law was written, and eventually, of course, the Constitution and the Capstone Bill of Rights. The Constitution was 1789, and the Bill of Rights, I believe, was 1791. And again, it was the Committees of Safety that formed all that. It was the colonies, which have now become states, continued with Committees of Safety for the sole purpose to exercise their unalienable right of government by consent. That's the process that our founding fathers set up for us. That was eventually stolen from the people. They were statutorized in many states, taken over by party bosses, and now the original committeemen are now, that have been taken over, have been turned to the party committeemen. So we need to take it back. I was a party committee man a couple of times, thinking that maybe that was the way to try to take things back. Didn't work very well because, again, you got the party bosses. It's very hard to go up against the grain. And once you start doing things in a different direction, causing trouble and problems, they throw you out of the party. They make it look like you're elected, but obviously you're not elected if they can just throw you out. So anyway, parties are one of the biggest problems. It was the parties, which again was statutorized by the minions of the New World Order, which is the esquires, the bar attorneys. So we've been robbed, and the people have been kept ignorant, and they have no clue on how to have government by consent. People need to realize that without an education, if you don't know the Constitution, you don't understand the powers and authorities that we gave our representatives. If you don't know your rights, and not only the Bill of Rights that we have, but also Amendment 10, which talks about many, many other rights. If you don't understand that we are the sovereigns, we're the ones, we're the lawmakers, the true lawmakers. We the people ordained and established the Constitution. We vested the three branches of government with powers. Did the same thing with our states. So it's the people that make the law. In the Constitution, we had written equity and law. Equity is administrative law. It's legislative law. Law is exactly what it says, law. It is the common law. It is the true law. It's the law of God. In Black's law, there are 51 jurisdictions. 50 of them are different legislative jurisdictions. One of them is the law itself, L-A-W, standing alone, which means common law. We have 57 on a federal level. We have 57 codes. Each one of those codes is law, regulation, statutes for government agencies and the people who work in those government agencies, and for commercial activities, certain commercial activities. In Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, was it 8? Yeah, I think it's 8. Section 8 of the Constitution, we gave our legislators 18 powers. Nowhere did we give them the power to write civil law. Nowhere did we give them the power to rewrite the law, God's law, apply it to the people as civil law, and to give us civil law ultimately rights and opposed to unalienable rights. And that's the condition we find ourselves in today. Parties will convince you, both parties, that we're a democracy. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. We're a republic. Okay, so how did our founding fathers set up the committees? We're just going to briefly go through this and some of the things we need to do to take this nation back, what the committees of safety need to be doing. It takes time to organize a committee of safety, get people together, get your paperwork together, get a relationship with the sheriff, and to really start doing some work. It could take 6 months before you really get into some real serious works, but meanwhile you should be organizing, communicating, trying to communicate with other committees of safety, or invite people in counties next door to you to your committee of safety, and let them know that you'll assist them to create a committee of safety in their county. No man is an island. United we stand, divided we fall. You can't build one committee of safety and think we're going to take this nation back. Not going to happen. And if you don't have an education, it's not going to happen. Education particularly to understand who we are as a people, that we're a Christian nation, that we're under God's law, that we have unalienable rights, that the government is not the lawmakers. They can only write the law to govern themselves and the commercial activities, which we very specifically laid out. But they cannot write law beyond that, although they have. So we need to take this back. But again, our founding fathers, they set up pretty much the way we have, but they had a judicial committee, that education committee. I don't know whether they had an educational committee, but we need one, of course. Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. We have a correspondence committee. Our founding fathers had correspondence committees. Paul Revere was of the correspondence committee. That's how they communicated. They send messages through the correspondence committee between the different committees of safety. And eventually at time they'd come together, work together, legislate together. And in the case here, they created the United States of America. There's the militia committee and there's the political committee. And these are the basic committees. There are many, many other committees that can be opened up as time goes on. You'll discover, hey, we've got to create a committee for this situation or that situation. Some of them may become permanent and may constantly be, working within that committee. And some of them may be just temporary for a time period until you deal with a problem. But the committees that must be at all times and continue is the Judiciary Committee, the Educational Committee, the Correspondence Committee, the Militia Committee, and the Political Committee. Now, the Judicial Committee made a list of different things that they should be focusing in on, and this is not the the full list. There are a lot of things that people will come up with and realize and have to work with. One of the things we're looking to do is, of course, take back our courts and bring back courts of justice, opening up the law of lands again. Administrative law judges are exactly that. They're administrative law judges, ALJs. Every judge that within the state and every judge on the federal level are ALJs, administrative law judges. They have no power, no authority to make the decisions that they have been making through summary judgments, applying their rules, which are repugnant to the Constitution, repugnant to the law of the land. But anyway, we're going to be working and we're educating people to become jury administrators. And the purpose of the jury administrators is to pull together grand juries and trial juries, and to also bring them up to date, the knowledge of their authority and the powers that they have and the Constitution. We wrote a book for this purpose. So we have to ultimately orientate the juries. Usually that takes about a day, 6 hours, the first meeting together, the people coming in for a jury. They'll be, really explained what their powers and authorities are. Of course, in the way the system is set up right now, their powers and authorities are altogether pretty much stripped from them. Powers and authorities are their lawmakers. They have the power of nullification. If there is a court case that requires equity to be part of that court case, like someone who is working for an one of the administrations, working for a government agency, and maybe committed some kind of criminal act in their duties, well, they're also governed by those, by the equity that was written for them, which is, again, legislative law. But the people have the right, the authority, the power to nullify certain, statutes, codes, regulations, whatever the case may be. If a person, again, is being brought into a court for a criminal act, and again, they were working for the government or under commercial activities, they are tried and governed by those act, those different legislative powers. But if the people find that the law doesn't apply in this case, or they just don't like it, it doesn't matter what it is. They just don't like the law. They can nullify it. So they can agree together to nullify the any law that's being applied upon an individual. You know, often we'll hear judges say, "You can decide the facts, but I get to decide the law." And I'll tell you what the law is. And if they broke this law, you have to find them guilty. Well, then at that point, the judge just took control of that jury. The judge just made the decision, innocent or guilt, that that jury must come up with. Some judges will override the decision of a jury. All these things are not possible under common law. But how do they get away with this? They get away with this because we, the people, are ignorant. Because we, the people, don't know the law that governs them. We, the people, don't understand the difference between law and equity. We, the people, don't know anything on how to have government by consent, how to take control, how to stop them, how to remove them from office, how to require that they be obedient to the Constitution. You know, the party bosses ultimately control these individuals that are elected. And if a party boss was to call up an individual that is going to, that's going to be elected within their district, whatever that election is for, let's say Congress, and they want something to be done or whatever the case may be, that individual who is running for office or is in office is going to pretty much obey the county committee chairman. That's the power of the Committee of Safety, ultimately, but it was robbed by the statutory committee men, by the party committee men. And so we have the same power, and we don't have to worry about tearing that system down. It'll tear itself down. If we build committees of safety, those statutory committee men process through the party, two parties, well, there's more than two parties, but there are two major parties particularly, they will fall apart by attrition, because I know from being a committeemen usually don't last that long. They come, spend some time trying to do something good until they finally realize that they're being suckered and that their vote never really counted, and either the criminal on the right or the criminal on the left gets in, and they leave in disgust. That happens to many, many, many people. Some people linger around for a while for different purposes, and many of them that do stick around, it's because they got something going. Maybe they're getting contracts from the local government for this or that, or even on the state government level or whatever level, because there are a lot of favors that take place. The committeemen are controlled by party bosses. Party bosses are controlled by other party bosses. Ultimately, they're all controlled by the deep state, ultimately by the New World Order as you work up the line. And they only put on the ballot people that's going to be in the game with them. Of course, every once in a while, someone gets in that is not part of the game. Pretty rare, but it happens. Happened with Trump. It happened with numerous other people in the past, too. Not too many, but a few. Okay, so committees of safety come together. There's a judiciary committee. They're responsible for numerous things, and they are jury administrative oversight. Remember, we're building jury administrators in every county, which is four individuals that are administrators. One of the individuals we need is someone who understands a little bit about the law. So actually, ultimately, there's five. Each one of these jury administrators, they are really the investigative body of the jury. Or they can empower the jury with the authority to seek out things on their own. They can come up with, a jury can come up with a discovery on their own and start to investigate. And they'll need someone to help them to do that investigation. Right now, it's judges and the bar attorneys, and even the judges are bar attorneys, so it's the bar. And if it's going to be anything to take down in the New World Order or the corruption, they're going to be blocked and they're not going to be able to do their investigation. And therein is the situation we have today. But again, we need at least one paralegal with these four individuals. But even the paralegal should be an administrator. And they're the ones that will orientate the jury to liberate them, to make sure they know their power and authority. And again, we wrote a book, a handbook, and I think we have some videos on this, but if not, we will put together videos. Particularly, I'm pretty sure we've done this already, but maybe it needs to be updated because we've probably done it a while ago. But we need, for instance, liberate them. We wrote a handbook for grand jurists. We wrote a handbook for petit jurists. We posted those two handbooks, again, up on nationallibertyalliance.org. Underneath Start a Committee of Safety, come down to Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, and you'll find these handbooks down in here in PDF form, and we have some of them in Word form. We have how to organize a committee of safety, how to write the charter, put it together, the resolution, the seal, the vow, and so on. And we also have handbooks, other handbooks for organization. And they're all free downloads. For instance, the Committee of Safety Committeeman Handbook, that's a download for free. It's 40 pages. It lays things out on how the process works and how to organize and so on and so forth. It's important that we all organize in the same fashion. The reason for that is because we'll be working with other counties. You know, if you have a congressman, I know here in New York, in many states too, because again, depends on how many congressmen is all to the population, but you may be working with two or three counties, one, two, or three counties that also have support of the same individual that you're sending to Washington. So we need to work together with these committees. And we need to bring in statesmen. We need to put people who are statesmen onto the ballot. And that's one of the major jobs of the committeeman, is to put people onto the ballot to support them and get them onto the ballot for the election by the people. But the committee man have the power and authority for recall. And we can recall anybody within 90 days once we bring a petition against for recall. And once we're united, that'll be pretty easy to do. Right now, again, our congressman in Washington, okay, they're in there to support and take care of the business, ultimately, of special interest groups. They're supposed to be in there representing you, but they take that payola and they represent different corporations, all these different organizations. And it's contrary to the will of the people. And they give them power and authority. They write law and do all kinds of things that they don't have the power or the authority to do. But again, we the people are too ignorant to realize that they don't have the power to do these things. So we don't say anything. That's how we became a democracy. Most people have no clue that we are a republic. And we're very specific. We're a common law republic. The only one in the world at this point, which is under common law, common law republic. I think there's like 250, republics in the world. China is a republic, which ultimately puts them under the law. Iran is a republic. So there's many, many nations that are republics. The question is who wrote the law? In our country, in our nation, we the people wrote the law. God wrote the law, ultimate law, but we wrote the law that governs our government. We the people ordained and established this constitution for them, and they are to obey it. And we have the power and the authority to remove them. But they ignore us because, first of all, we're divided. We're not organized. We don't really come with power and authority. Once we get a good percentage of the counties moving with committees of safety, then we'll have power. But we can never become a party. Parties are destructive. George Washington spoke about parties. And he said that parties will be the destruction of our nation. And here we are. Jefferson said that the judges will be the destruction. They both were right. One has destroyed our entire political system, turned us into a democracy. The other one has destroyed our judicial system and turned us under civil law. They abrogated the law of the land and they placed it with their own law called civil law. They're taught that we are under Roman law. And nothing could be further from the truth. Okay, going back to just this structure, and then we're going to open to questions. Again, anybody wants to get into the queue, star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and if you're on an Apple browser, it should be a button in there. So we have these committees. There's 5 committees we start off with. And again, in the beginning, you know, when you have 5 or 6 or 7 people, you just have the general committee. You know, really we're doing all the work of everything, which ultimately is organizing and trying to bring people together, get 20, 30, 40 people eventually in your committee. And as time goes on, then all of these committees should go into operation. And they should continue all the time. Again, there are other committees that you'll create, subcommittees, which will report to the general committee, whatever, you know, the goal is of that committee, that is given to them by the general committee. That's the whole committee. Everybody belongs to the whole committee, the general committee. But we go to work in either the judicial committee, the educational committee, the correspondence committee, the militia committee, or the political committee. Okay, back to this general committee, the judicial committee. Administrators, we have to have in every county. That's a paid position, by the way, because it's full-time. And they pull together the grand juries. They pull together the, of course, the petit juries. They orientate them, prepare them, and they watch over them, making sure they're not abused by the bar, particularly, of course, the prosecutors or even the judge. Okay, in a court of law, there is no judge except the people. It's a tribunal. Judges have no power of summary judgments. Judges have no power to create any kind of rules to govern us, although they do this, of course. They have the rules of evidence. They don't have the power. We never gave them the power of authority to write rules of evidence. They will take evidence and say, well, you can't bring this evidence into this case, or you can't bring that evidence into this case. Again, it's all created to protect themselves. All of that is unlawful. It has nothing to do with common law. Any evidence that people want to bring in, they bring in. Okay, I've seen so many things, evidence where evidence was not permitted here or there. Very powerful and strong and winning evidence. But they can't let them win, so they'll not permit that evidence to come through. And the bar attorneys will be obedient. Usually the people that are being the defendant or other people, they have no clue what's going on. They don't realize what's happening. They think all this is normal and right. They don't know. We don't know. Why? Because we're ignorant. And it's time, and again, you cannot have government by consent and be ignorant. You cannot have government by consent unless you're organized, working together with like-minded people. If we have to put a label on ourselves, let's label ourselves constitutionalist. We'll go back to the Constitution. Okay? We send someone to Washington, they need to represent us. And if they're representing special interest groups or bringing in different things that are contrary to the powers and the authorities we give them, we the people have to be able to see that and stop that. And it can be stopped with a phone call. Because remember, it's the committeemen who put them into power. It's the committeemen that can take them out of power. But we have to be organized. We have to have numerous people. You know, if we're going to walk a paper to recall an individual and get papers signed within our communities, you know, we may have to get hundreds and hundreds or even thousands of signatures, depending on the office and how many votes took place in the last election. You know, someone running for a particular position in a village or something, maybe just, or even a sheriff in a county, it may only be thousands on a sheriff or hundreds on, or even less than 100 on an individual brought into office, maybe in a town or a village or whatever the case may be. But whatever that number is, there's a percentage required in order to remove and do a recall. And so we have to walk and get those petitions. So you need people to do the walking. One person can't do it, obviously. And that's why you can't have government by consent without working with others in committees of safety, like-minded, focused in on the Constitution, knowing the law, understanding the structure of our government, understanding the structure of our courts, which is one branch of the government. So judicial committees, they provide jury administrative oversight. They fill jury administrative vacancies. There's got to be five, four and one paralegal, but all five are administrators. All members of the Judiciary Committee should take the Court Access and Common Law course. By the way, the Court Access and the Common Law course is a powerful course. It's underneath education called Court Access and the Common Law. Once you sign up on this course here, then you'll find these two links. You won't see them links if you're not signed up into this course. One link is Court Access Recorded Video Course. That's the course itself. And the other one is a table of contents with lots of documents and different information as you go through this course. But anyway, if you click on the course, it'll lead you into the information on the course. Is this it? No, that's not it. Let's see. Court Access and the Common Law. This should be it here. Okay, let me click on that. Okay, yeah. All right, this will lead you to the information. We give the first session. You can watch that for free. I think it's, how long is this, 90 minutes?
Watch what smoothies do to our body.
No, we don't listen to that. Let me go back. You know, if you go out to Rumble, a lot of our videos are in Rumble, or if you go to, well, let me listen to this, and then I can't get rid of the audio. But anyway, I don't want to listen to the commercial. Basically, once you get through the commercial here, if you're out on Rumble watching this, or you're out on YouTube watching this, because it's posted on both YouTube and Rumble, if you've got a premium account, you won't see the commercials. But if you're going to see the commercials, then you might as well just watch it on our website. In any event, the first, I think it's got to be maybe 3 hours or close to 3 hours, the first part of the course, first issue. So anyway, we cover a lot of information in this course. By the time you get finished this course, you'll understand the structure of the law of the courts, how things work, common law, understand the powers and the authorities, and how to write papers. You need a course of action, different defenses and motions, and all these things, which is part of the due process. But again, right now we don't have courts of law, even though they do operate under these positions or these things here as far as, writing their paperwork and filing their papers, nothing wrong with anything that they have set up for that. How a motion goes and filing a motion and doing different things on different motions, reconsiderations of the motions, how to write a paper, yet have cause of action, so on and so forth. But anyway, anybody that really wants to know the law, this course is pretty powerful for that purpose. But if you're going to be on a jury committee, should take that course. Anybody who wants to learn the law and be able to go in and take care of their own business, write papers and file papers and so on and so forth, well, course is there for you too. Or just general knowledge, whether you plan on going to courts or not. This general knowledge is important anyway, because you might find yourself one day as a defendant and you need to know what's going on. You don't want to trust your life in the hands of a bar attorney who is going to serve first the court system before it serves you. One of the problems we have is with bar attorneys, we need to get rid of them. All right, let's go through this. I want to get done with this and get on to questions. Again, anybody wants to get into the Q*6*1, if you're on an Apple browser, there should be a button. Okay, so you fill administrative vacancies. That, again, is five people. That's a full-time job. It's a paid position. This committee should support NLA to restore our courts. We'll get into that in a minute or two. They should monitor the jury administrator certifications, make sure that every one of these people that are administrators, that they are certified. We certify them here at National Liberty Alliance. They must go through all of our courses to become a jury administrator. And people could be taking the courses as they serve as administrator. If we get to that point and we don't have people who are educated yet, they can start part of the process, but they do need to be taken to get certified. All members of the Judiciary Committee should take the court access in the common law course. Purpose is also to assist the people in the county with complaints against the government, any government agencies, and to work to end jury tampering and stacking. Prevent the judge from doing that, prevent the prosecutor from doing that. The Educational Committee. The Education Committee is to encourage members to attend NLA's Monday night meetings. These meetings are recorded, so you can listen to them in on MP3 or watch them on MP4s. You can go to the website for that. And let me just throw that up real quick where that's located. Today's issues, you can come down to NLA, Monday Open Forum videos, and on here you can watch the videos. Tonight's video will be posted up here on this page. If you want to listen to the MP3s, you can come underneath, above the blue bar, the Welcome tab. You come to the Monday Night Call, you click on that tab, and you will see all of the latest, all of the Monday Night recordings going back for years. And so you can listen to the MP3s here. Okay, so if you miss it, people should be listening to our programs because it's educational. We discuss things that people need to know. People come up with questions, and we'll research it out if we don't have answers. People come up for advice, or any kind of a question applying to the committees. But I tell you, if we don't build committees in your community, in your county committees, if we don't build committees, you can't have government by consent. Because it's a lot more than just going to the ballot box and voting for somebody. That's not government by consent. Okay, controlling those individuals that we put into office, that's government by consent. Requiring them to be obedient to the Constitution, that's government by consent. To take control of our courts and prevent anybody that comes into the court, a judge, that thinks that they can take control of the court to make sure that they don't take control of the court, to prevent that from happening. That's government by consent. We, the people, are the lawmakers. Ultimately, God is the lawmaker. That we are under, but in Genesis chapter 2, God gave us the power and the authority over the earth. And it's the people. And we have government by the consent of the people, Declaration of Independence. Our law is under God. We will be judged by God and not man. So we're not going to be judged by statutes. Right now people are being judged by statutes. But we should not be. Because they've seized control and kept us ignorant. Okay, so encourage people to come to our meetings. Get educated. We do have an eighth grade test up here. People should go take it. It's underneath. It's on the same page where all this information is at. It's the eighth grade test of 1895. And the question is, could you have passed the eighth grade test of 1895? And you'll see what they taught the children in school back in those days. We encourage all members to take the following NLA courses: Government by Consent course, Foundation Studies, Civics course, Constitutional course 101. We have a campaign to restore a republic in the minds of the people, because the people believe we are a democracy. Almost everyone in the office thinks we're a democracy. The few that understand a little bit say, yeah, we're a democratic republic. Well, that's oil and water. That's an oxymoron. That cannot be. Those are two contrary different things. We're not a democracy. Because people think we're a democracy, 51% control the 49%. That's what's been going on for a very long time. They've been making all these laws as if they think that they have the power and authority to do these things. And they get the judges to decide and limit our powers, limit our liberties, and take away the fact that we are the lawmakers. They make themselves the lawmakers. They make law and do things that they have no power or authority to do. How do they get away with it? Well, we don't know the Constitution. The Constitution will tell us clearly what their powers and authorities, and we can judge them by that. Anything that they do that does not line up, measure out to the Bill of Rights is null and void. Anything that avoids our unalienable rights, and we have lots of rights, more than the Ten Amendments that we find. We have a lot more rights than that. The right to travel, the right to practice law, the right to go into a court and not pay for it. We already paid for the courts. Campaign to destroy our republic in the minds of the people. Campaign to restore our founding documents via education. Campaign. This is the work of the educational committee in the counties, and within them, and to govern themselves, the knowledge that they need to have, as well as get this knowledge out to the people within their communities. Get them involved. Campaign to educate people in the difference between law and equity. To restore sovereign authority via education, restore the grand jury authority via education, to restore the pettigrew authority via the education. The Correspondence Committee. People need to register their committees of safety up at NLA. Take a quick look up here. If you come up here on the blue bar, you'll see a directory. You click on the directory, and you'll see all the states with numbers on it. You come down and you find your state. Let's say it's... Let's take New York, because I'm in New York, so we can click on New York. And we have 743 members in New York. We have 62 counties. And we have a list of all the people that have executed or building committees of safety in their counties. We have people building the committee of safety in Broome County, Dutchess County, Manhattan County, Niagara County, Rensselaer County, Suffolk County, and Wayne County. So people need to come out to see if there's a committee of safety already organizing and then become part of that committee of safety, work together with them. If there is no committee of safety, then you can follow the instructions to register or edit your county committee of safety. You just click on this button over here and then follow the instructions and fill out the information. The only thing they will find that when you register, the people will see, they'll see your county, your first name, and your phone number. That's all they'll see. Okay. And if you get in touch with Jan, if you're running the committee of safety, your name and number is up here, and you get a hold of Jan, he'll give you numbers of the people and counties around you, or even all the counties within your state. We'll give you their county, their first name, and their phone number. Okay. A campaign to restore founding documents, campaign to restore our Christian heritage. Our heritage is in the law, and our inheritance is liberty. If we don't know the law, we don't truly know all of our liberty. Nor do we have control over our liberty. Someone else does, because we're ignorant, we're slaves, and they will control us. Educate people in difference of law and equity. Restore sovereign authority and grand juries and petit juries. I read through that. Correspondence committee. Register your county committee safety with NLA. Maintain correspondence with NLA. Maintain correspondence with all committees of safety in the state. Assist other counties to create a committee of safety. Invite them to your committee of safety. Tell them you'll assist them to help them create one in their county. And you work together, you connect through the correspondence committee. So we need to work together. We have a militia committee. All members in the militia committee should take the militia course. You need to educate our county sheriff. Ultimately, that's the responsibility. It starts off with the general committee, but the communications ultimately is through the militia committee. Maintain a relationship with the sheriff and start building an unorganized militia, working with the sheriff with that. We've got a lot of information. We've got handbooks on how to do all this stuff, again, on the page I showed you before. Then there's, finally, there's the political committee, where the political committee assists statesmen to get onto the ballot. We organize all committee men to walk petitions. So during the time when we're putting people on the ballots and we need to get the signatures, all committees, everybody in the general committee, all through all, of course, the subcommittees, everybody should belong to a subcommittee. Everybody comes together to walk the papers to get people onto the ballot. So we walk petitions. We monitor. The political committee is to monitor the people who are representing us, making sure that they're keeping and maintaining their oath, that they're not stepping outside of their powers and authority. And, of course, this is the committee that will start the process for recall, recalling representatives who violate their oaths. Okay, on the final note here, we ask everybody to support NLA to restore the following via Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And we're working on this. We've been working on this for since 2013 or 14. I'm trying to remember. Well, actually, since 2012 or so when we became National Liberty Alliance. But we started filing in the courts, I think it was in 2013 or 2014. And right now we're in there focusing in to get rid of what's called the Rules Enabling Act. And the Rules Enabling Act combined equity and law, and they now call it civil law. So when you go to court, you're under civil law, which is the law of man and no longer the law of God. We need to take it back. National Liberty Alliance is working on that. Support us to restore our common law courts of record. Support us to restore our common law rules, to restore Amendment 13, which prevents any bar attorney from having any power, authority, or position of any kind of trust, to restore the law of the land. Work with the committee, with National Liberty Alliance, helping us to restore the Bible in schools, to restore habeas corpus. Habeas corpus, you can't get habeas corpus in courts anymore. I've even seen where people ask their lawyers to do it. They won't even do it. They ignore ours. But that's all proof that they are subversive. We need to restore a right of free access into the courts. We shouldn't be paying for anything. We don't pay for justice. We need to restore the right to practice law. Who are these people to say we can't come in and represent ourselves and others? We need to end political parties. NLA has a plan for that. We need to build jury administrators in every county. As I mentioned, five people, four administrators, one paralegal, and a paralegal also should be administrator to be able to fill in and do the work and understand the work. Provide a proper education, K through 12. We need to write proper education textbooks for children to give them all this knowledge, to teach them that they have a duty to return back to this nation what they are given. Nullify Amendment 17 to restore state sovereignty, because they destroyed the balance of power with Amendment 17, which took the power and the authority of the states to have representation in Congress through the Senate, and the 17th Amendment took that away from them, gave it back to the people, which placed them under the special interest groups. So they all work for special interest groups. Not one of them, well, I wouldn't say not one of them, but generally speaking, they're not working for you. They don't have your concern in their minds. Their concern is to fill their pockets up with whatever they can get and support these special interest groups. But anyway, only the people can save America. Only the people can have government by consent through committees of safety, working with others. United we stand, divided we fall. You can't have it. You can't have government by consent without having a committee of safety and a proper education to understand the powers and the authorities that we the people have, and to execute those powers and authorities, to take control of our government. Okay. All right, with that, we're going to take some questions now. I did want to just lay that out. Again, we do have some people here that are interested in learning about what we're doing, and they got some questions, and so we're going to stay focused on this subject matter. If anybody gets into the queue and they kind of take us away from this subject matter, then we're going to push us back towards this. Okay, we got the first person in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue? Star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone, and should be a button if you're on an Apple browser. First person is Jeff. Jeff, what state you in?
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jeff. What state?
Yeah. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I would be taking you off your subject matter. I had a serious incident happen this week. I needed to discuss with you. I tried to call you on the weekend, but I couldn't get through. I don't feel, you know, if it's taking you away from your mission tonight,
well,
we'll
get back into the queue, and if we run out of questions from people concerning what we're doing here, then we'll talk to you a little bit, see what happens.
Okay, I'd appreciate that, John, really.
Thank you. Stay out for a while, and if we get to the point where nobody else is in the queue, then, you know, you can get it. We only have one person in the queue. I'm kind of surprised because I know we have a lot of visitors here and hoping to get a lot of questions and to give a lot of information to those people. So we'll take our next person and we'll see where we go, Jim. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, we have someone with a 719 phone number. What is your first name and your state? You got the mic. 719.
This is Daryl, Colorado.
How you doing?
The important thing is, you know, when they took away the grand juries from the people, and to return that back to the people, because common law is superior to all this here legislative statutory stuff that's being carried out through war powers. And I think we need to focus on reestablishing the common law grand jury and return that authority back to the people. What has National Liberty Alliance done as far as moving to getting those grand juries functionable and then work toward the enforcement of the indictments and that to carry out the overreach or the checkmate to the overreach that's been done by the bar attorneys in the courts today through this administrative process and basically monetizing the court cases. That can all be checked with the grand jury. So what is your idea of getting that accomplished?
All right, well, the first order of business is subversion. We have enemies foreign and domestic that we need to deal with. We've come to discover that early on, of course. And so one of the things we have structured pretty early on, we started pursuing this just on the political realm, but as time went on, we learned a lot more and started to work into the law of the courts and understand how the judiciary works and the grand and the petit juries. So what we did is we visited all the counties throughout the United States. You know, some of the counties where there's not many people living in them, you know, we may not have visited, but we didn't make the invite, and maybe they'd cross over to another county. But anyway, we went throughout all of the United States. Then we worked together within all of those states to work together to create the state, the unified state common law grand jury. So we structured the unified New York state common law grand jury. The unified New Jersey common law grand jury, and so on. Every state, all 50 states, including Hawaii and Alaska. So we accomplished that quite some time ago. I think we finalized that around 2015. Then all of those grand juries came together. They've got seals and registered their juries. And we formed the unified United States common law grand jury so that we could work together on a national level to deal with enemies foreign and domestic. And that grand jury is active. We just filed a paper recently. As a matter of fact, one of the papers we just filed, you can read that. You'll find that on our front page. to come onto our front page. As you come down, you'll see redress of grievances to open natural law courts. Now, we've done numerous presentations, or presentments, shall I say, numerous presentments, and we also did, we've done indictments. We filed that in numerous places. We filed it up in Albany, New York. We opened up a case up there for the purpose as a sort of a depository of all of our paperwork. We also put all of our paperwork up on the website. It's underneath federal court cases, top right side of the blue bar. And we also have filed certain papers with different attorney generals over the years. We had sessions. We were filing papers with sessions. We had Barr. We were filing papers with Barr. Now we're filing papers with Bondi, okay, Attorney General Bondi. And we've been copying Trump. So again, our focus is to bring things back. And this grand jury, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, will remain in power and continuous review and filing papers until we get our courts back. Now, we are training people. We in the beginning, we were thinking of just creating a grand jury, okay, and getting people to create grand juries. But as we started to research and look into things, we started to see that that's a wrong thing. You can't give that much power to any one group of people. The grand juries are called to come together for a period of time and then released, and other people come in and they're released, and so on and so forth. There should always be grand jury sessions moving through, depending on how often they have to meet. It depends on the population and how many court cases are necessary. but it's the administrators that will be five administrators, again, four administrators, one paralegal, all of which are administrators. They will advise the juries. They will call the juries. They will orientate the juries, train the juries, prepare them, answer any questions, guide them in any way that they can. We're working on a handbook for that, too. And so instead of creating a grand jury, now, we have there are grand juries out in California now that's been around for over 10 years. When we had found them, it was quite some time ago, and they were already in session for a couple of years. There's a grand jury down in Florida, been together probably about the same time, amount of time, 10 years. And that's run by a bar attorney, by the way. He's the foreman. What power that guy has, huh? And he gets away with it. That's a wrongdoing. So we're not building grand juries. And, of course, we need trial juries. Someone has to orientate them, bring them into power, and prevent them from being stacked or abused by a judge or by a lawyer. And, again, that's the job of the administrators who are building administrations. And the other thing is this. You can't have grand juries that are coming in for revenge. You know, that's a problem, too. You know, we are angry. I'm angry myself, but we've got to be careful. We have to come in with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. We teach people that. Everyone has to take a vow to the governor of the universe that they will act in a sense with honor, justice, and mercy. And then grand juries, again, need to be appointed or being brought together as time goes on. And how long a grand jury is in session? Now, a grand jury may be in session for years. Probably not years, but many, many months, okay, if they're connected to a case that's being built and every once in a while they're being called back to continue looking into more evidence or whatever the case may be, or they're investigating and there may be a lot of investigating going on. So if they get involved in a particular case which requires them to come together maybe once every couple of weeks or something for numerous months, well, then that's their job. But generally, again, if you're in New York City, for instance, you might be a grand jury that might come together for a couple of weeks and hear certain cases and make the decisions and then be released, and other people will come in and they will take over that job and so on and so forth. So, you know, and it would be, but down in New York City, for instance, or any other major city, there'd be a lot more than just one or two grand juries. There'd be quite a few grand juries. Each county down there, there's five counties in New York, we call them boroughs, but in any event, they're counties. And each one of them require, you know, probably numerous grand juries that have got to be active over time. So in that particular case, You may need more than four plus one administrators in that particular county because there's a high population. But generally, a lot of other places, you know, you may come in as a grand jury. You may have to come in 2 or 3 days over the course of a month, or 4 or 5 days over the course of the month. You're released, and then another one, other juries come in and take that place. And again, you could be held for a longer period of time if you're working on a case that's being involved, and you need to be involved on that one case. And you may be called 3 or 4 times over the course of 6 months. I don't know, whatever the case may be. But we can't, you can't create a grand jury to just go up and perform something. First of all, they ignore you also. We've been doing that for a long time, and they have been ignoring us for a long time, but we've been building evidence. Every time we build a case, we file the papers, and they ignore it, or they throw it out, or it disappears, or whatever the case may be, okay, well, then that is evidence. And the way they deal with our paperwork, whether it's in Montana, California, Texas, New York, Jersey, Maine, Massachusetts, it doesn't matter where it at. All these federal courts particularly we're talking about, and the state courts, they all do the things the same way. They break the same law in the same fashion. And that proves conspiracy, you see. So that's what we've been doing for a long time, building the case of conspiracy. And we have been pushing very hard and communicating with Trump and his administration. It's a one-way communication. You know, we're not expecting him to get back to us, to talk to us, or any of that. You know, we're expecting him to obey the law. We're expecting Bondi to respond to the people and our indictments and so on and so forth. And time will tell whether they're going to do it or not. If we don't, and the more people we have together, the more committees of safety we have together, the more people working together to push this forward, the more pressure is on the people to do this. Now, Trump is trying to bring us back to the Constitution. Well, if he's going to bring us back to the Constitution, we the people need to bring our courts back to the people, because our courts of law are not to be controlled by the state. Okay, that's very important to understand. No administrative law judges are permitted in a court of record. All administrative law judges are magistrates. They can put on their magistrate cap, and they can come into the court. And the purpose there is just to act as a traffic cop, to keep things moving along, and to sign the papers and put the seal on whatever the will of the jury, whether it be grand or petit, is. And that's their job. They're not there to make summary judgments. They're not there to make decisions. You can't have this evidence, you can't have that evidence. They're not here for that. People's court is the people's court. It's run by the people under God's law. That's the process. You know, 12 individuals sitting in a jury seat to make the decision in the court without the aid of a judge. We don't want a judge. It's the people's business. We know when a wrongdoing's been done. We know how to fix that wrongdoing. We live in the same communities that they do. That they live in, and we can see when a wrongdoing and injury has taken place, and we can figure out how to restore them. We don't need the government to tell us any of those things. And we should always have an eye on restitution more than jail. Yes, some people belong in jail, no doubt about that, but most people, even in the criminal end, doesn't necessarily belong in jail. Okay, they could even be put under house arrest. You can put electronic device in their leg and so on and so forth, maybe over time remove that too, and you know, jail is not the answer to the solution. It's not the solution to the problem, or the answer to the problem. Restitution is the answer to common law. But again, sometimes jail is necessary. So anyway, we're not training people we're training people how to orientate the juries, how to bring the juries together and work. And again, let me say this again, this is a paid position. Right now there are people paid to do this. But these people are ultimately bar taught. They're all bar taught. They're judges and lawyers. We need to take it away from them and give it to the people. But we need to be educated to understanding how the process works, to understanding what the common law is, to understanding how we're to come into this position with a sense of honor, justice, and mercy, and require the same thing of the people that we bring together for a grand jury or a trial jury. So we have all the education for all that, and then someone has to monitor them, okay? There's got to be a process, because we will get people who will be problematic, and 2 or 3 of the administrators may decide, hey, this person's got to go. They're a problem. You know, we talk with them, and they're not being obedient. They're not repenting and operating with a sense of honor. and mercy, or whatever the case may be, well, then they then they can fire them. Okay, now that they have, they can come and appeal that, and they can appeal that to the Judiciary Committee when they're county. You can see the requirement of all these things. So they go to the Judicial Committee, and they say to the Judicial Committee, you know, we've been fired by popular vote of the other administrators, blah, blah, whatever the case may be. And the Judicial Committee will make the final decision. And then there'll be a final appeal if the person who either side wants to appeal that to another committee. Then they can go to a county next door and have them make a final decision. But there's got to be a process to remove problem people. There's got to be a process to control people who become problems. You know, the Bible tells us the hearts of men are desperately wicked. Who could know it? Okay, so we will have people come in with bad hearts, out of the evil treasures of the heart, bringing forth evil things. That will happen, and we need to be able to have a way to fix that. So that's the system. This is the system our founding fathers lived under, and this is the system we need to live under, because they governed themselves through the committees of safety. They made all the decisions and the corrections and through the committees of safety. We need to do the same thing. Our founding fathers understood what they were doing and created this for us. And it's not necessarily that they created all that themselves. Committees of safety go way, way back. But anyway, back to you.
Well, you know, the grand jury is really there to protect to enforce the Constitution, because the Constitution, if that's the supreme law of the land, you know, why are we not even following it in the courts that are being administered today? I mean, they don't follow the courts or the Constitution at all. You know, basically, you know, just get that, you know, don't bring that Constitution into this court. But, This is where the grand jury really needs to come in and basically check that and enforce the prohibitions that are in the Constitution for those who have taken an oath of office. This is the corrective procedure that the authority rests in the people to basically carry out this here indictment against those that are in an office and violating their oath of office. There's plenty of laws on the books to deal with counterfeiting, piracy, and treason. That's treason against their oath, treason against the people, treason against the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. And that's why the grand juries need to be returned back to the people and away from this private bar club that has basically taken it over after World War II.
Well, I guess you would agree that they have to be properly educated, correct?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. And they also have to be able to, within reason, be able to police themselves and have some process to protect the system and to get rid of problematic individuals. You know, look at all these positions of powers, most of them are filled by psychopaths or sociopaths. These people are lost. I mean, power draws these kind of people into those positions. That's why we have to look for statesmen, people who are serious and want to, you know, bring this nation back to where we belong to, or a republic, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what we need to get back to. But we can't just go and, you can't create a grand jury and just sit on that and start ruling. First of all, the courts aren't going to pay any attention to that, none whatsoever. And if you're not careful, if you're not doing things in a proper fashion, and you know, then you bring in other things that are insane, like, you know, starting to bring some kind of a lien against the judge or something of that nature and start pursuing those things, you know, it just creates more problems, okay? We need to fix the courts first. So right now is a time for education. Right now is a time for organizing. You bring people together to decide to become jury administrators. You know, we have on our website quite a few jury administrators, people who have signed up for this. I'm scrolling through the site right now. On the right side, you come down towards quite a bit down in the bottom here, not too far, but you'll see how many counties have been constituted. We've constituted all 3,133 counties. We have a total grand jury. People who signed up to be jury administrators, we have 1,269 people who have signed up for that. Now, after all these people are active, because a lot of people fall asleep, I try to wake them up every once in a while. But these people, if they're serious about this job and they want in, they need to sign up, get down the list, start taking the education, start preparing. And we, meanwhile, National Liberty Alliance is working on the other end, filing papers in the courts to bring our courts of justice back. Look, at we did a very powerful paper, okay? And that paper you can read. It's on our front page. Okay, let me get up to that. And this is not an order. I meant to do this before tonight's meeting, but I'll get it done this week. But the top one is a redress of grievances to open natural law courts. It's to deal with the Rules Enabling Act. It's to remove the judges out of our courts and bring the people back in. Until we do that, you're not going to get anyone. You know, we have filed, goodness, 100 papers into the court for maybe supporting individuals or doing habeas corpuses. We've done a lot of indictments. It all falls on deaf ears. But it doesn't really matter at the moment because really we're building a case. And the case has been already established. And we've indicted the entire federal judiciary. They all need to go. They all have. The destruction that they have done to this nation, to the people, is innumerable. We can't know. It's so numerous and so much damage, destruction of lives. Even people died from their decisions and the things that they've done. People died in jail. You know, they got to go. And I do believe the people in the state court have to go too, because they've been applying their own law in opposed to the law of the land, which is the Constitution. Okay, and the Constitution requires law or equity in our courts. We, the people, control law. They control equity. They're administrative law judges. They have nothing to do with the law. They're not law judges. They're administrative law judges. It's an important point to realize. But they don't want to hear it. They don't want it to get they don't want to lose the power that they have taken and have been given. So we have to take it away from them. That takes time. So, as people are organizing committees of safety, as people are preparing and educating themselves to become administrators and to prepare to be able to bring the juries together, to be the investigative body for the grand juries, also to permit them to do their own investigation. If the foreman comes to the administrator and says, hey, in this process, we saw this and that, we want to know what's going on over there in that office. Well, we make the phone call, let it be known. The grand jury's coming over. Open the doors, open your records, open your computers, because whatever they wanted to see, the people's business, they're coming over to look at it, whatever that may be. And they need to allow that and permit that. You're not going to get that right now. You're not going to get that kind of response from a local government or even a federal government, okay, or any kind of an agency. You're just not going to get it, okay, until we get courts of law back. So as we're doing that, people need to get educated, prepared, and bring things together, build committees of safety, and so on. So that's really the plan of NLA, in a nutshell. But if a people expect to be ignorant and free, as Jefferson said, they expect what never was, never will be, not going to happen, and you're not going to have government by consent, you're not organizing and you're not educating and stepping up to take power. Become an administrator. That's the key. If you want to be a grand jurist, once you get the whole thing put together and it ends up in your county or state, then we'll call you together. You know, someone, whoever's running that process in that county, they will. Your name will be on the list to be called for as a grand jurist or potentially a petit jurist. So again, what National Liberty Alliance is doing is training the people to operate that whole process, to take control of that whole process, to take it away from the bar and bring it back to the people, not to be politically involved with any of these political things. You know, we'll be involved with political process, but not with politics, okay, because politics is destructive. What are they doing? They're debating about our rights. That's what they're doing. Every time they step out of their authority, they're injuring us some one place or another. We can't permit that to continue. But only the people can fix this. But it's got to be done correctly. So this is what we're doing. And everybody can come take our courses and and work into the system, work into your counties, and start forming the necessary things. Anybody that's on the Committee of Safety should also belong to the, anybody who is an administrator should also belong to the Committee of Safety. And they should probably have a seat on the Judiciary Committee, okay? And, you know, they wouldn't be able to, if they're on that committee and a vote has to be taken to get rid of someone that's on that administration, then, of course, they'd have to step aside and not participate in that vote. But anyway, that's what we're doing. We got to be educated. We can't go in ignorant. We can't go in angry. We have to go in with an oath to the governor of the universe.
This legislative power has taken the right people through the war of power. It's been kind of the catalyst that they've used to basically enforce their statutes, because they're basically paying their mercenaries to enforce this, you know, through the fiat system, where they monetize all the cases and implement this here credit-based system. But this is where it is important for the people to turn back and to basically implement those prohibitions in the Constitution of Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1.
Well, now you're talking about what was created through the Organic Act of 1871, which incorporated the United States and started to build a corporation upon our let's call it a trust, I guess. Well, it's a compact between the states, but let's call it a trust, okay? For lack of a better word at the moment. You know, they've come over and taken control of the trust, which is to be run by the people for the people. And they did this. And again, how did they accomplish this? They accomplished this. It took them a long time to accomplish this. They started this whole process, first of all, to destroy our courts back in 1750. And then what happened, eventually, of course, we had the Declaration of Independence. We became independent from them. And they continued to attack our courts, to destroy our courts. They did a great job at that, because they have totally annihilated our courts. And they have also taken control and annihilated our political process and turned us into a democracy. Okay? It's forgotten in the minds of the people that we are a republic. People don't even know what a republic is. They don't even know what it means. The common person just has no clue. Okay? That's how seriously defunct we have become. And all of this is possible because of ignorance. And that's why National Liberty Alliance, the purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to facilitate an education, organization, communications between the people with a hands-off attitude. We don't give people marching orders. We just train and teach people. They need to go do what they got to do in their counties. If they go rogue and do something crazy, we may cut them off from us. We've had people who've done crazy, crazy things. And we couldn't reel them back in, and they just went rogue. So on two occasions, we had to cut people off and create another Committee of Safety. Let the people have it, controlled by people, and not from some psychopaths. And that's what's going to happen from time to time. We need to be able to see this when someone starts to take control and starts moving the Committee of Safety into strange directions and starts to empower themselves through that process. And it's going to happen here and there. We just got to fix it. That's all. So, but anyway, that's what we're doing here. We need an education. We need people to come together. But look, you are right on what you're saying. These things, those problems have to be solved. But we have to solve the main problem that we have to solve. And again, it's the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. Which combined law and equity and changed our law in 1938 is when it took effect through the Supreme Court. They brought their rules out and they changed the law of the land. They'd done away with habeas corpus. They'd done away with the law. They'd done away with free access into the courts. They'd done away with you being able to go in and represent yourself, although there are some statutes you could use and you can get in to do that. But they're going to do everything they can to destroy you in that court, to kick you out, or to prevent you from reaching the goal of justice in that court. And then when you try to take it away from them to move it, this is a common law court, you don't belong in here. You're an administrative law judge. Put on your magistrate cap and stop trying to rule this court and let the people do their business. They're not going to listen to that. That's why we are in the courts right now. That's what National Liberty Alliance is doing through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. That's what we're doing right now. And that's the battle that has to be won before all of this can take effect. But it doesn't make sense for everyone to sit on the sidelines and not do anything, not get educated, not start to organize, and not start to take in power on the political side of things, and starting to bring together work with your sheriff and bring them on board and educate your sheriff and empower the sheriff, which will also empower the people as the Committee of Safety. You know, those are the things we need to be building up now and preparing for. People need to get educated to become administrators. They need to get educated to run the committees of safety and understand all the powers and the authorities they have. They have to understand the Constitution, the limitations of government on state and federal level. All those things collectively. No one person needs to know all these things, but everybody has a little bit. Some people will dig deep and will be able to master it all, and they'll be good advisors. But nevertheless, you know, we have to do it in a proper fashion. Now, if we sit and wait and say, well, yeah, we'll go do that once we get the courts back. So let's say 3 months from now we got our courts back. Now we're going to organize. Now we're going to educate. It'll take another year to do that. We've been doing this for years now. People need to become educated. They need to be forming committees of safety. They need preparing to take their government back and have again government by consent. And this is the process and the procedure by which we do it. So, but I agree with what you're saying. All of that will be dismantled once we get our courts back. You know, Trump is reorganizing the entire economy. He's making many, many changes. Okay? But we, the people, have to take control. When Trump went into power, he says, I was not elected to take power. I was elected to take power and give it back to the people. Big problem. People don't know how to take that power and do anything with it. They have no clue how to have government by consent. And that's not necessarily their fault, maybe, because, you know, they've been taught by the enemy since they went into kindergarten all the way up through college or whatever education you got, okay? They've been taught this process that they have, and they don't know. They don't know these things. You know, our founding fathers spent a lot of time and research to put this together. We can't expect people to be just to step up and know all these things. You have to learn what they've learned. We have to understand how political process works. We have to understand how the judicial process works. It's not complex. It's pretty simple. Just pay attention, go through the process. It's very simple. And common law is very simple, too. You know, I can put common law in a nutshell in two words. Common law, I can put in a nutshell in two words. Common sense. That's what common law is. Common law is common sense. Working off the heart, that God put the law into our hearts. We know when someone broke the law. We know when someone was injured. We know how to fix that problem. We'll discuss it and figure it out, how to restore that individual, and we will come up with a proper solution, okay, to restore the individual back to the original state to the best of our ability. Usually that's usually by money, okay? They've been injured. They need to be compensated. So all of those things, there's a lot that we have to work together, and it's not one thing, one mechanism that fixes the problem, because if you're just doing grand juries, which we made the mistake in the beginning thinking the same way, by the way, because that was the logical conclusion. But as you start digging into things, you start to say, oh, this and that and the other thing, and, you know, hey, it's not as simple as just going in and creating the grand jury, okay? And when do you stop that grand jury? When does that grand jury become out of control? What is controlling that grand jury? What is going to put the stops on that grand jury if it goes wacko? Who's going to fix that? If the people aren't in place to fix it, it can't be done. The judges can't fix it because they don't have the power or the authority to do it to begin with, and they're going to stop it anyway at every step of the way because they think that we don't have that power, that we don't have that authority. They've been trained, they've been taught a lie. They believe we're under Roman law. Think about that. We're not under Roman law. We're under God's law. It goes back to Israel. Our nation was created, fashioned under Israel, 1600 BC. But no, they claim, they teach you in law school that we are fashioned under Rome and that we are under Roman law. And Roman law is civil law. It's called the law of the city. It comes from Justinian law, which is repackaged Babylonian law. So it goes right back to the law of the city, Babylon. And that's what we're under right now. And that's what we have to dismantle. But we have to first take our courts back. And that is what we're working on diligently. At the same time, the people need to be organized and communicating, empowering themselves, understanding the system, getting the education, preparing to take the positions of administrators, preparing to take the positions within their committees of safety, and to educate the people in their community, to get a proper education into the schools. All these things need to be done. It's just not a one thing. So, you know, again, once we get the courts back, then we will start working on pushing the people into the courts, and that'll have to start on the state level, but it would all be on the federal level too. Ultimately, most all things should be running on the state level anyway, but the state level, okay. And if it's in a federal court within a district, the administrators within that state, within those counties, can take care of the business of pulling the grand jury on the federal level. I don't know that we want to, I haven't thought it out to whether we want to build the juries and the administrators in the federal level. I think it needs to stay on the state level. Because, you see, once the federal government, which is an administrative law system, okay, once the federal government discovers, well, okay, here's a law that's been broken, we've got to put a criminal case against this person, we need to get an indictment. Well, they got to go to the people in the county where this crime, quote-unquote, took place. And so if they got to go to the people in that county, there's a court in that county, and it's got, and it should have, it's, as time goes on, the administrators who will call the juries together for a potential indictment. And then the people will decide whether it's an indictment or not. And if it's a federal indictment, that's fine. It'll be sent to the federal court for prosecution. But it'll be still run by the people within that county, and that county jury will be pulled together by the administrators of that county. And they will orientate those jurists. They will make sure that they understand their powers and authorities and the power of nullification. And again, we can do this in 6 hours. We got a handbook on that already. And the handbook easily, and everybody should get a handbook. Every juror should get a copy of the handbook, whether it's a grand jury or a petit jury. And of course, there's the orientation, and then any problem, situations, questions, they can come to the administrators and ask for solutions and so on. And if they need more advice, they can always come to us, and maybe we'd be able to give them that advice and thoughts and do some research for them or with them. And then share that research and information that's discovered with other committees of safety that may come to the same problem in the future. And so, see, we got to work together with this. And it's got to be in every county. It can't be in one place. And that's why we did it the way we did it. You know, we're not a small group of people in somewhere in New York in some corner of some town or something in one place. No, we are throughout the entire United States. We're in every single state, many members in every single state who are all part of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And when we call the grand jury together, we send it out to our membership, and anybody who wants to come in to participate on that grand jury and make the decision, they come in. And that's how we've been operating. But again, we have to be very careful. And right now, the only thing we're focusing in on, really, is enemies foreign and domestic. That's what we're focusing in on. We need to get our courts back.
Well, Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution is all legislative powers here in Trenton. You know, it's the people that granted the power to the legislature, but they are to operate within their constraints of the Constitution oath that they took. And that is according to 5 U.S.C. 3331 and 3332. And Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 really limits their whole authority, which are basically their enumerated powers, limits them to the 10-mile square. Article 6, Clause 1 ties in the Articles of Confederation and the Northwest Ordinance, which says that the writ of habeas corpus and a trial by jury are inviolable. They are forever. And there is no emergency so great as in which to suspend the Constitution. And that's what they are operating under, because they are bringing mixed war against the people.
How are
and
you
the
proposing
check for that
you,
is the grand
how,
jury.
How are you proposing to fix that problem?
Well, this is where the grand jury, I mean, the enforcement is the big part, but really the military is supposed to be working for the people. And
we've been notifying the military also, and they haven't done anything, at least not yet. It doesn't mean that they're not going to do anything, because it may not be time for them to do anything. Even with Trump, we've been notifying him and his entire administration, and they're not doing anything either. But maybe it's not time for them to do anything yet, because there's a lot of things that have... Look, a lot of people are complaining about Trump in the sense that, and why hasn't Bondi done something yet? Why hasn't this one done something yet? Why isn't that one... Well, it takes time. First of all, they got a clean house. They don't have clean houses yet. All these administrations, all these different agencies, they have a lot of corruption inside. They're working on getting rid of that. They got to clean that house up first thing before they can do anything. And they got to work through. And justice takes time. The wheels of justice takes time. Okay, you have to get your indictment. Sometimes when you get an indictment, you got to collect a lot of information. There's got to be investigation. You got to bring all that stuff together. That takes time. Then you got to go and fall through the grand jury and seek an indictment. That takes time. And then the indictment can be executed and arrests could be made and things could be done. But all those things take time. And the same thing with what we're doing. It all takes time, and we have to prepare the place of power and authority of the people. And the only way we could do that is first is to attack the heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem is the Rules Enabling Act. The Rules Enabling Act is what took the courts of justice away from us. It was the Rules Enabling Act that has to be nullified. And these federal judges, all bar attorneys have to leave the court. We have to resurrect the 13th Amendment. This is a hard thing to do. It's hard. Look, people think they know, but they don't know. There's nothing more dangerous than ignorance and action to begin with, okay? But people, it's not the things that you don't know that's going to get you. It's the things that you think you know that ain't so. That's what's going to get you. And that is what's gotten every single elected person in this country. Even it got a hold of Trump. It got a hold of all of the people in his administration. They all have a nice attitude to, well, we got to fix this problem. We've got to bring the Constitution back. They don't even understand enough to know what that requirement to do. They're not even realize the IRS has got to go. The Federal Reserve has got to go. I mean, Trump knows those things. And a lot of people maybe in his administration knows those things too. But generally speaking, people don't know those things. People in power don't know those things. This is the destruction of a nation. They don't know about the 13th Amendment. They have no understanding of what that's all about. Okay? But it's going to take time. And it's been a difficult road. For the National Liberty Alliance, it's been a difficult road trying to educate these people. Because when they receive something from us, and from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, and they look at that and they think, you know, a lot of people, especially lawyers, a lot of these people are lawyers, they spent $500,000 or $250,000, let's say, for their education, $250,000, whatever it is. I spent a lot of money for that education. I know the law. I know how things work. These people, they don't know what they're talking about. They're not a little, but they believe the lie. That's the problem. Okay, and so we got to break through that barrier, and I think we've done that. I hope we've done that, because we've been pounding them for a long time. We've been feeding them with powerful meat, okay, understanding, and if they've read through the things that we've sent, they got to wake up, because we footnote everything. We document everything. We don't say this is what it is or this is that. No, we document it. You read the books that we wrote. Everything is documented. You read the papers. It's all footnoted. It's all documented. It's all a power and authority proven on the paper. They can go check it out. And that's how we got to do it. But we have to first get courts of justice back. That's the big problem that we have to deal with first. And people need to be preparing, educating, and organizing meanwhile. That's what has to happen. And if people fail to do that, then then maybe they just don't want liberty no more. Maybe they're not happy with our founding fathers, what they've given us. If that's what the people speak, then the wrath of God will be upon them too, because we have a covenant with God. And that covenant with God is the Declaration of Independence. We ask to live under His law, to receive His blessings and His liberty. And we put into the Constitution one of the requirements of the government, right in the preamble, is that they are there to protect the blessings of liberty. Right? The preamble. Okay? One of six things that they have to do. Protect the blessings of liberty. They're not doing it. And if you violate that, that covenant has been made over 250 years ago or about so. Okay? It's been made already. Okay? And anybody who breaks that covenant is going up against God, because you can't break a covenant with God. God can break that covenant, and maybe He will. All right, anything else? We've got a few other people in the queue.
Yeah. I'll yield, but that's what has to be done, is that we have to basically enforce or implement the constraints and the delegated powers that are in the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, and that's what needs to be implemented.
Well, there are three things that have to be done in order to implement that. Number one, we have to get courts of justice back. Number two, we have to change the minds and the hearts of the people who are coming into that are in power, Trump and his administration, to bring them the understanding and the knowledge of the law, to educate them. And unless those things are done, we can't accomplish the goal. So that's the big focus. And everything else comes behind that. Everything else has to be prepared and laid out and ready to go behind that. Because we don't end with this, okay? We don't end with this. We're going to go into the courts and start kicking butt, so to speak, because we have to go down into the state courts and force courts of record back down there. We have to bring these things and tie these people back under the chains of the Constitution. That's what we have to do. And until we accomplish that, we're not getting anywhere. Then the power and the authority, we'll be organizing, bringing this whole system together as we're doing that once we get the Court of Records back, which has to be done right the first order of business, get rid of the Rules Enabling Act. That's what we're trying to do right now. Okay? And once that's accomplished, that's when the floodgates come in and the people come in. But if the people aren't educated, don't understand these things, and they don't come in and they don't form committees of safety, you cannot have government by consent without committees of safety and understanding how the political and judicial process works, and the fact that it's being done in every county. If we're not working together, you know, we never would have been able to separate ourselves from Britain if the 13 colonies didn't come together. One colony couldn't do it. They would have been squashed in a moment like a fly. No, they have to work together. We have to work together, and we'll have to continue to work together. That's the duty. Liberty is not free. It requires time. It requires work. It requires support. It requires, enforcement and protection. And only the people can give those things to this, and that's what we have to do. Only the people can save the Republic. Trump can't do it. He can bring us, and I don't think they understand some of the other things that need to be done in the Constitution. They don't understand. I think Trump understands the money, but a lot of these other people, they don't understand the relationships, the ratios between gold and silver, and the Constitution requires only gold and silver to be legal tender. Okay, all these things have to be brought back. Habeas corpus has to be brought back. Legislators got to be brought back under the thumb of the people. The courts need to be brought back to courts of justice. We need to kick all these people out of our courts of justice. They don't belong there. You know, judges do not belong in a court of justice. A magistrate, a sheriff, a coroner can sit and rule as sort of a traffic cop, which is a magistrate. You know. All right. Anyway, it's getting late. Let's take a few other people here. We'll go to Tony from Pennsylvania. You got the mic. Go right ahead, Tony.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Yeah, I've been waiting a long time for you.
Okay.
So I've been reading a lot of your books and then, trying I started developing headaches sitting here watching like the computer screen and stuff like that. So
that could be
I took a break from that. But I'm mostly now reading The Fruit from the Poisonous Tree just so I can understand a little bit more about this. So do we have to, prior to creating the Committee of Safety, do we have to do a citizen expatriation, like repudiation at all? Like, do we have to have our people take an oath, right? Then do we have to have them repudiate their citizenship because in the Black Law's Dictionary, a citizen is a city slave, you know, like.
Well, look, if you know, I don't know what Black Law you're looking at, but, you know, go back to the original, go back to the second edition, the third edition, and even the fourth edition. I'd never seen anything like that at all. Our founding fathers used the word citizen 7 times in the Constitution. We are citizens of the United States, which means that we're a citizen of any state we plant our life into, and we can move from time to time. We can move to another state and immediately cross the state line, and we're a citizen of that state, if that's what's in our mind and our intentions. Okay. As we travel, we have all the rights of the citizens of every state that we travel through. Okay.
Yeah.
I know people are teaching things that you got to get rid of your citizenship and you got to become a nationalist and all that stuff. Our founding fathers didn't talk about any of those things. They called us citizens. We are citizens of a republic, a natural, the only natural law republic in the world. That's the only one is the United States. And yet,
okay, so we don't have to do that. We don't have to tell our members. So we create the oath, right? Like under the Committee of Safety.
What are you thinking about? You're talking about the administrators for the grand and petite juries?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, anybody can take that job on, and you don't even have to work in your own county. You know, if you live closer to the next door county's courthouse than you do the county you live in, you can work in that courthouse. It doesn't matter. But you will fall under the authority of the Committee of Safety when one is up and going in that county, you'll fall under the authority of that committee of safety, the Judiciary Committee particularly, if a problem arises. Other than that, there's nothing for them to do. Other than when they see a vacancy, it's up to the Judiciary Committee to make sure that these people are properly educated, that they have their certificates or are working through their certificates as they're working their jobs. Okay?
Okay.
And it's a good position, okay? So that you can do just by you go up online and sign up right here on the webpage and start taking the courses and get as educated as you can and prepare for that position when it opens up in your county. And, you know, and again, that all takes time. That's why we need to be doing all these things now, because when we get our courts back, we want to start moving in and taking power and authority.
So you're saying that we can... We got this Committee of Safety here in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. I did email Jan. I never got any response, although it was rather recent, to contact him and stuff about finding out how many people in Pennsylvania that we either, so how we go
just
about.
Send him another email just in case. I mean, he's not on a call tonight. I very rarely don't see him on the call. He's on a call pretty much all the time. But
I was wondering if that Jeff that was just on, is if he's part of our Pennsylvania Pioneers group.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then also with the coming out of with Montgomery County, and you're saying that now we can rely on the other counties that also have Committee of Safeties, and we don't have enough members here in Montgomery County to move forward. Once we get to move forward, are you saying we also will have a place in the courthouse to set up stocks, like an office, or how do we demand that or something? Or
yeah, listen, right now the courts are set up, and if they need a jury to be brought in, there are people who are bar attorneys hired for that job. They are paid people in that courthouse for the purpose to do that job. And so they will call them people together and orientate the juries, whether it's grand or petit juries. And then, they're going to bring them under civil law is what they're going to do. We need to take that away from them. That's one of the things we'll be doing as soon as we get courts of record back. And that's the court case of the Rules Enabling Act. Once we have that nullified and done away with, then we move into the courts of justice, and then we start taking the power and authority. There is a way and there's a process to do that, and it's working with the controller of the state and through the counties, and the people need to take control. And that's what has to happen. We can't. First of all, 13th Amendment doesn't permit a bar attorney from entering into our courts. The 13th Amendment does not permit a bar individual to hold any office of trust. And most of our elected officials are bar attorneys.
Right.
So the original 13th Amendment prevented that. We need to reestablish, and we need to resurrect that 13th Amendment.
Now, do you recommend this book, The Fruit from the Poisonous Tree?
Well, I can't say that. I know what they're talking about. I didn't know anybody wrote a book on it, but there's a lot of people who have written on The Fruit of the Poisonous Tree. And ultimately,
Melvin Stamper.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't know about the book, though. But ultimately, the bottom line is if there's a defect in one thing, everything attached to that is the fruit of the poisonous
tree.
It's all broken.
Yeah. So I'm on your website here. I'm looking at what I have done. I've done a few of these courses and stuff. So starting a committee of safety, organize a COS. I started watching some of those videos. Like mm-hmm. The blue screen or however it's affecting my...
There is a problem with the blue screen. You know what you want to do? You want to get an incandescent light. I have one on my desk. It's attached to my wall.
And it's got
this arm that I can move it around. And I think that, well, first of all, the incandescent lights is good for you. The blue lights on your computer is problematic. It injures your eyes and everything else. But it is helpful to have an incandescent light bulb, which is hard to find these days, but to have that and to kind of I'm not really having a problem, but if I do have that dimmed for a long time, if I don't have that light on, yeah, that blue light starts to get to me. But the
that's
white
what I have here. Yeah.
Incandescent light, I understand, also works towards repairing the injuries from the blue lights. And
well,
yeah,
it looks like we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 or 7 counties here in Pennsylvania. Once we get these committees of safeties, are we supposed to have like 18 committees of safeties to create the assembly in Pennsylvania?
No, there's no assembly. It's just committees of safety. They work the business of their political subdivisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, you take a county; it's got so many towns in it, and so many villages, and so many cities.
Townships, boroughs, yeah, we have.
So, you know, all of that is part of the county, okay? And each one of those has a government, okay? And whatever governments affect the individuals within that county, within their political subdivisions, they have to take control of. And so we have to work together. And some, for instance, are representatives in Washington. For as far as congressmen are concerned, those individuals, that are elected by people in numerous counties. So you have to work together with other counties. And sometimes it's only a part of the county. So you work with the people in that part of the county other counties, in order to work together to find a statesman and support them and get them onto the ballot and then monitor them. Because that's part of the job of the Committee of Safety. What's going on with these people? What are they doing? They're taking complaints from the people and helping the people to deal with those complaints and fix those problems. And if they can't, they send it up to the administrators and the grand jury for the jury and trial jury. And the administrators can start an investigation and force them to be obedient and to the people and give to the people what is rightfully theirs to have. Again, you know, we just have a lot of learning to do. It's not difficult. It's all common sense. It's logical. Once it's laid out, I see it. That makes sense. Our founding fathers put things together that made sense. Again, everything's
it's very simple. Yes,
everything's
And I just have another question, was about, you have a total of 87 state coordinators. Are they, like, I'm looking at Pennsylvania, at the whole map, it has 10 districts. Is that different than your coordinators?
Well, we tried to break it down to, there's a national leadership, and that's where the 10 coordinators come in. And then underneath that, you have state organizers or state people that are working together. And ultimately, all that is supposed to be working to try to really work things out, that we're all working in the same fashion, we're all structured in the same way. You know, we want each county committee of safety has to be free and independent, totally free and independent. They can't
okay.
be or required by from someone on a national level, you got to do this, you got, no, we can't do, no one could do that. They have to be totally free and independent. But look, they have to organize in a fashion that makes sense, that they can work with other individuals in other counties. You know, there's a political process and
right.
a structure set up, and people have to work together in those things. It's the same thing in the judiciary. You know, we have to work together to take our state judiciaries back. But it starts with the federal. We have to take
okay,
the federal.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure, like, I want to do things lawfully here in Montgomery County, and I just feel like I'm bombarded with so much different avenues. I'm doing it the right way.
Here's the problem. Okay, what we did here at National Liberty Alliance is research. We've been researching this stuff for 15 years, and the product of that research has given us 14 books. Has given us a website with 5 or 6 different courses you can take. It has given even a higher education than that. We've got videos and handbooks, all kinds of information. Yeah, and it is a lot of stuff. It is overwhelming for one person to think that they can do all these things and control all these things. I mean, some people can dive into this and after a couple of years get it all together and continue to grow like anything else. You know, that you might want to master. But look, that's why we have subcommittees. People will specialize in this and that. Many hands make light work. The more people you have, the less work. The more people you have, then the less work individually has to be done. You know, we just have a couple hours a month that we have to put into this, okay, which is really requiring going to meetings and then educating ourselves and then whatever involvement. But the bottom line is many hands make light work. And that's the same thing with the mind, okay? You have many people working together, and collectively you will figure these things out. Someone will say this, and, you know, it's sort of, you know, I read about that in this handbook here or there, and this is the way, you know, you work it out, you know? It takes time. It's something new. It needs to become old hat. Right now it's new hat.
Right.
It's time. But one of the big problems we have is people bring in pollution. Okay, they bring in this stuff that's going to require people to do certain things, you know, get rid of your citizenship, become an national,
right.
become this or do that, get rid of that, you got to get rid of your license, you can't do that, you know, look at, forget all that stuff. Let's get just to the common law. Stick with the common law, and, you know, the legislative law that they wrote, let's apply it against them, because that's what it was written for, to be applied against them, not us. So we use that against them. We come in with our common law, common sense. And yes, we could make it up as we go. We get to a situation and there hasn't been a solution that we're aware of. Well, let's create the solution. Let's deal with the problem with the people. We have the power to make the law. We are the lawmakers. We, the people, ordained and established the Constitution. So we can make the law. We can make the decisions. But you have to be in a position of power to make those decisions. You have
okay,
to
so with, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just like we get so much information, I'm getting tired. The flag, too, are we supposed to, like, adhere to the militia flag or the civil peace flag or the... is there a particular flag that we're supposed to be following?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. That's the key, which brings us to common law, the 13 stripes, okay, and the 50 stars, maybe 51 soon, but we'll see what happens. But the bottom line, that's the flag. The fringe flag is an American flag also, but it belongs in the federal level. okay, whenever, you know, it belongs particularly on the forces, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, you know, it belongs in the military, but it also belongs to within the federal courts that make the administrative decisions on all of those processes, okay? So, but that, you know, I know people have a problem with the fringe flag, but I understand the point they're making, but it has its place. On a federal,
okay, so that, yeah, that they, like we've been hearing that, oh, that we're under military law when we see that fringe flag, and I'm like, I don't know what to believe anymore. So,
listen, I learned a lot. All the stuff you're talking about, we learned that too early on because that's where we started. And then it became contradictive here or there. Then we started to do some research, and then it became more contradictive. Then we realized, wait, we're under the common law. People are making this stuff up. They're trying to, look, they think if they do certain things, they get rid of their birth certificate, they get rid of their citizenship, they become a nationalist. And they walk into a court, they click their heels together, and they're going to be transported into a court of justice because, hey, those people, they're just honorable people, and they see this person coming in. We it's honorable to give this person their court of justice. It's not going to happen. They got us chasing our tails with all this stuff. Forget about it. We don't want to get lost. You know, the UCC thing, you know, you write that, well, you're then bringing yourself under that structure, aren't you? It's contradictive. Common law will clean the whole mess. The common law and the Constitution, which is a common law document, which is sets on the foundation of the Declaration of Independence, a common law document, and the capstone Bill of Rights, which is a common law document, that's the law of the land. And it comes from the heart. The common law is common sense. That's simple. Okay? Just bring your common sense with you wherever you go, and you'll figure it out. Many hands make light work. You got 6, 7, 8, 10 people working on a problem. You're going to figure it out. Believe me, you're going to discuss it and figure it out, and come to conclusions.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's it, John. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to stay a little late tonight. We have two other people. I want to at least get through those people.
Okay. I'll listen.
Thank you, Tony. Okay. You got the mic. What state you're from? Ace, you got
hello?
The mic. Yep, hello. What's your first name?
Okay. Yeah, sure. So, with regard to the flag, I believe that you want to use the David Windmiller ratio flag, but I also think the civil peace flag is important, too, because you want to be express that you're a common peace as non-combatant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Admiralty flag with the fringe is definitely a military flag. So when you said the courts today are Roman civil law, when I think of Roman civil law, I think of the canon law or ecclesiastical law. But when today, when you go in, like in Manhattan, it's a tribunal. I think of tribunal seems to mean military. So when you see military, you think of Admiralty, tribunal, vessel and dry dock, inland piracy.
Yeah, but that's all part of the corporation. That all falls under the Organic Act of 1871, and that all of that repugnant stuff structured over that, all of that is a subversion against the United States, and anyone participating in that part of the process and maintaining that part of the process when a court of justice come will find themselves being justice being applied upon them. Okay, because it was subversion against the United States of America. All these things with all these flags, you know, I had one group of people that mentioned we got to go to another flag with the stripes go a different way, and it looks like this, you know, because this was the first flag we had looked like that and had the circle stars. And, you know, hey, our flag was established not long after our founding fathers, put our government together, and the flag became the flag we have, with less stars, of course, but it became the flag we have. And that's the flag. That's the flag. But you're being confused. You're being
confused. The Coast Guard used a civil flag.
You're being
confused. The Coast Guard used that flag, civil peace flag.
Okay, look, you're being confused by all of these different things. It's a very simple thing. We have a flag with 13 stripes and 50 stars on it, blue background behind the stars. The stars are white, and the stripes are, you know, red and white. And that's the flag we have, the one that we know, the one that we see. Now, a lot of people claim they want to surrender our flag. I'm not willing to surrender our flag. Our flag has been there since our founding fathers put it together. Now, I know the original flag that was created during right after the Declaration of Independence to something to bring themselves together is the 13 colonies in the circle. That disappeared very early in the late 1700s or early 1800s. I don't recall the date that we have, because I did do a little study on the flags and the process of the flags. And the flag looks the same way going back to our founding fathers as it does today, except for it has more stars. Now, that's the flag. Now, people want to surrender. I don't want to surrender the flag. That's the flag that I have pledged allegiance to, because it represents the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We made that pledge every day in school. I don't know if they still do that anymore, but when I was a kid, every day we made that pledge. We took an oath to the flag, to the flag for which it represents, which is the republic. Okay. Now, all this other stuff, I don't know why people bring all this stuff up. They think, well, if we do this or we do that, we create something new or we execute this, we're going to get liberty here and they're going to respect this. These people are evil. They don't respect anything. They need to be put in jail or at the end of a rope, a short rope.
Actually, the oath is supposed to be for the government officials are the ones that are supposed to be under oath. They flipped it on its head. It's not supposed to be the people. The people that are in the office are supposed
right,
to take
but we
the
pledge
oath.
Allegiance. We pledge allegiance to the republic when we become, when we're born. It's an automatic thing. Our parents pledge allegiance for us. And if things were proper, at least when I went to school, pledged allegiance every day I went to school. Major events, we pledge the allegiance. Committee of safety meetings, pledge the allegiance. We pledge allegiance all the time. So we already take oaths. Now, there are special oaths that you take, of course, for the Constitution itself, and you're right, the people who work in the government.
It means necessary, including by a pledge of allegiance.
Yeah, but the thing is that's for the people. The oaths that they take to obey the Constitution, to obey and uphold the Constitution, that's expected, okay? We, as a Committee of Safety, we take an oath to the governor of the universe, okay? And our
That's
oath.
Right. Oh, in family court, people don't know what happens to them, but they're trying to confer an oath on people when they go into family court, and they don't realize that means the U.S. government is the parent of their children.
Yeah,
but
look
they
at
have
those
to rebut
thoughts.
The presumption that they confer an oath such as that when they go into a family court.
The family court is the most evil court in America. Okay, that is the worst court system going. They claim to be a court of law, and it doesn't come anywhere near that. Okay, they are destructive. I agree with everything you're saying, but the solution is really bringing our courts of justice back. We need to get rid of family courts. Family courts need to go. Okay, and you know, family situations, they should have people that are social workers and maybe clinicians and people who can deal with the problems of the family and try to help them work it out. This court system that they got, the civil law, everything's hardcore. They come in with statutes. They beat the hell out of you. They take your money. They do all this crazy stuff. Everybody gets a lawyer. You can't find two lawyers to agree. How can you find three, four, or five if every child has a lawyer and your spouse is a lawyer and you got a lawyer? It's just insane, okay? Total insanity. That's not the way the system should work, okay? You know, people who have a problem and they need help in the family, they need to work it through some kind of a process that could assist them and fix the problem and bring that family back together if possible. And if it's necessary, they can refer into the courts for authority and also to enforcement, okay, if it's necessary. But generally, it shouldn't be necessary, okay? But, yeah, these courts are evil. You know, we got to get rid of them. We got to sit down and figure this out.
And the status correction is good because it protects you when you go into the law of the water in these maritime admiralty courts, because, like, the trademark protection.
No, but that has nothing to do with us.
Rescinding voter registration and rescinding the driver's license.
That has nothing to do with us.
Adhesion contracts. I do think that helps protect you because these are Nisi Prius contractual venues. So when you go in there, you're going in there on an offer to contract, so you're accepting their offer to contract.
Listen, I understand what you're saying. I heard all this stuff before. Okay, it brings you to insanity. There is no solution. People think if you understand what they're talking about, and what they're talking about, I understand what they're talking about, okay? But there's no solution there. They just go in and they're dealing with the problem as if they can fix the problem by becoming part of the solution within the structure that's already there that they created, which is a corporation. Everything is structured under the Organic Act of 1871, which incorporated the United States of America and eventually every county and state in the nation, okay? This was subversion. We need to just ignore and move to common law.
The Constitution mentioned the word citizen. That's the state citizen with a capital C, not the U.S. citizen with a lowercase.
I'd like to know who put all that together, because first of all, in the Constitution, we gave the power and the authority for the federal government to handle the citizenships of people that come into this country, okay, and they become citizens. We gave them that power and that authority. It doesn't make them federal citizens. It makes them citizens of the United, little u, maybe if it's better for you to think that way, of the United States, okay, which means once you take that oath and you say, well, okay, I'm going to live in Jersey, well, there you are. You're a citizen of Jersey. It's done. Now, we that were born free, born into this nation, were citizens of the state that we're living in, but we're also, look at, I live in New York. If I go to Jersey, I'm a citizen in Jersey, too.
New York would be a New Yorker. Per the Stiles Manual, it says the nationality of the state is New Yorker. Per the GPO Stiles, the government printing off the Stiles Manual,
That's all subversion.
Territorial state or the republic state, not the state of the corporation. State of New York is the corporation, right? It's New York the republic or a New Yorker per the GPO printing and Stiles manual.
Okay, again, you're getting lost into the corporation. Why are you getting involved in that?
That's pre-corporation. New Yorker is pre-corporation. That's the organic republic.
I'm a citizen of the state of New York, not the corporation of New York. The corporation has been overlaid over the government of New York State, just as it's been in every state and over the United States. Okay, we got to dismantle that, and we're left with the purity of our common law, and we're a citizen. Look at these people are teaching things that are just confusing people more and more. Again, I believe this stuff myself. It made sense until I started to see the contradictions. So you start to do the research. Once you start to do the research and you start to find more contradictions on that thinking, then you start to realize everything is built upon the Organic Act of 1871. The destruction of our courts is on the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. All of that, that's all their corporate stuff. Okay, and you don't have a contract with anyone. They claim you have a contract. There was no meeting of the minds. You can't be held to the commercial laws. Okay, but you don't have a contract with anyone because there's no meeting of the minds. It's all BS.
Right. Exactly.
So why are you getting involved with that? Just get involved with the common law.
I'm just saying that by going through those status correction process.
You begin to learn
all the deception by just
Listen. There is no correction. The only correction to it is to correction in your mind, and is a state of mind to be free and independent and to exercise your liberties and to become part of the community through committees of safety and to take this stuff back and bring it back under the common law. We have no agreement with any of those things. We have nothing.
That all these bar attorneys, they're foreign agents, so they're unalienable. They have certain protections inherent in that.
There's something else. Hold on.
The 14th Amendment citizens have no standing.
Okay, look at you just used the word unalienable, okay? And I know what's being taught out there with it's unalienable. It's not has nothing to do with a lien when you take the word lien on itself. Unalienable identifies with the fact that it cannot be transferred. And if you go back, whether it's inalienable or unalienable, it means the same thing. If you go into Black's Law Dictionary,
it means foreign agents.
But you don't understand. They're misusing the word to begin with. The word doesn't mean what they're claiming it means.
Well, that's possible. Yeah, most of the words don't mean what we think they mean.
Because they make it up. They've created fictions, and they've gave it its own statutes and its own structure. And you don't need to be participating. You have no agreement with them. There's no meeting of the minds. There is no contract. It has nothing to do with you. If they try to force you into it, it's a denial of due process. I'm under the common law. That's my battle. I'm not going to take the battle and change my citizenship, get rid of my birth certificate, get rid of my Social Security card, walk into the courts, click my heels, and say, I'm now in a court of justice, and you got to obey the law. Oh, my goodness, we're going to be obedient to you, Mr. Citizen, because you've done all the things necessary to free yourself from the grasp and the grip of our hands. You see, you're not going to get anywhere with that. It doesn't do anything.
And some people say that the commercial law is more forgiving than the common law. If you know what they mean, if you know them well.
Really? So the law of man is more forgiving than the law of God, who is a merciful God, a forgiving
because
God.
It's all fiction. It's like a cartoon language. Yeah. The law of commerce.
But it is not more. Look at, as a matter of fact. The words you just used are the very same words that were used by the Supreme Court when they wrote the rules and they put up onto their website that God's law is too problematic. It's too, I forget the words that they use, but generally speaking, it's injurious to the people. There's no mercy there. Come under our law. They're wooing you over to the mind of man to be under man's law instead of God's law. It's all a lie. Look at At the end of the day, under their law, when the grand jury's final decision, and then they decide, we're going to have mercy on this person, for whatever it is, you think they're going to allow that to happen? Under common law, that's permissible because it is everything works off the decision in the heart of the people who are the tribunal. And that's the other thing, a tribunal, the people are a tribunal. Okay? A tribunal means there's more than one judge. Okay, when you go through the administrative process, there's appellate processes, and all of that are the tribunal. Okay, and you go in and you get a decision from an administrative law judge on an administrative situation, commercial activity, whatever the case may be. Nothing to do with the law now. Okay, and that's just, well, you know, this is a good idea. This is the conclusion. Well, you can appeal or go to the next, and you get two or three people, and they make another decision, and you go up to another appellate court, and they make a decision. So you can appeal it up the line. But that's the tribunal, okay? In the law court, there's one tribunal in every law court. That's the people. That's the 12 individuals for that specific court. And that's a court of record, okay? Those other courts are not courts of record, okay? That's a court of record. And then the next court has its own tribunal, which is the people. It's a law court. All criminal courts are law courts. If it's a criminal charge on an individual, it becomes a law court. It cannot be an administrative court. An administrative court can't be applied upon people who are not working for a government agency, who are not working for commercial activities. Okay, so it has no application upon them. But the people are ignorant and don't know that. And so, therefore, they go willingly to jail. They go willingly to pay the fines instead of fighting it with the Constitution, fighting it with the common law, the law of the land. And all the meanings of these things you will find in Black's Law Dictionary. You'll find in the Beauvier's Dictionary, the work of Blackstone. You'll find all these things there, okay, and the meaning of these things. And this idea, unalienable, because it sounds like something to do with a lien, okay, they're giving meaning to a word that doesn't apply to that word. And there's a lot of things that they give meaning to that don't apply to the situation. You don't have to do anything to repair yourself. You're already repaired. It starts in the mind. That'll repair you. And start executing the process of common law in your mind, the law of God. That's where it all starts. You don't have to go
You don't have to get rid of a signature.
You don't do any of those things.
The steps of the status correction help you to realize all the mistakes you made.
But that's wasting your time learning their system. Why not go in and learn the process of due process? Why not go and learn how to go into the courts and deal with these problems and execute a solution to these problems? Whether they obey, they're not obeying it anyway, but you see, you're preparing a court case and taking that could be resurrected at a later time once courts of justice come into play.
It also helps you to realize, like, how the process was subverted, like, right? Because the driver's license unilateral contract that fails all 8 elements of the contract. So it's void ab initio.
Have you looked at much on our website? Have you explored much on a website, or just a little bit or something, maybe read a few things, anything?
I would need to explore it more.
Okay. Let me tell you what we have. We have so much education on our website, it would take your entire lifetime to go through all the education that we have. We have a higher education beyond the courses that we have. But one thing you won't find on our website is all of that fictional stuff. Why are we going to waste and pollute the minds of people and confuse people with all that stuff? Now, people who understand that stuff, fine, you know, but you don't bring it into the courts. You don't bring that stuff. You come and bring common law. You come and use the law that you can apply upon them, the statutes and the regulations that they're supposed to operate under. There's a lot of great stuff in there that you can press up against these people and judges and control them through their own statutes, their own regulations. And you can require due process. When they do give you summary judgments, that's a denial of due process. You can sue the court, you can sue the judge, you can sue the prosecutor, you can sue them all, because they all work together to conspire to deny you of your right of due process. That's
well,
where...
Well, they said no fact or truth will be tried in law. It is not a judicial venue.
What's not
it
a judicial
is a for,
venue?
It's a for-profit venue.
What's a judicial venue?
All the venues we have today, they're not judicial. They're for profit. They're made by Congress. They're not even under So Congress is Article 1, judicial's Article 3 of the Constitution. These are all under Article 1 created by Congress. They're not
under
judicial branch.
But we are under law and equity. Okay, equity is for commercial activity and people working for government agencies. That's what equity is all about. Equity is legislative law, but even that legislative law must bend its knee to the common law, because it is bound and it is ruled over by the rules of common law. So even equity, that's why people in a court can nullify those rules or those statutes or regulations as applied upon a person who's being charged with some kind of a crime and they were operating under commercial or some kind of an administrative process. Okay, so that all belongs, but a court of law is the key, and that's what we are under. Okay, so all that other stuff.
That's why if you bring in a judicial notice or a fact, it will shut it down, because it's not operating under fact or truth.
Oh, you think if you go into a court and you bring those issues in that they're going to shut it down?
You no, they probably ignore it and
absolutely
disregard,
they
disregard
absolutely.
The
evidence. So why waste your time?
Judicial notice is evidence.
But why waste your time? If again, we have 14 books that have been written on all this stuff. That's the fruit of the labor of National Liberty Alliance. 14 books and a website packed with so much information, so many courses, so many higher classes, higher courses. And again, like I said, it takes a lifetime to go through all that stuff. But the bottom line is you will search our entire site, you will not find any of the things you're talking about, because it has nothing to do with us. Why do we have to train people in the law? That's subversion, all that stuff. They came and subverted us by trying to change the law, to change our compact that we have, you know? We have a contract with nobody.
Yes, everything was subverted by the 14th Amendment, right?
Well, again, the 14th Amendment, if you interpret it properly, it is nothing wrong with it. But what happens is they change meanings and they change interpretations and they give it another thing and it brings you into civil law. And that whole thing was about the slaves, so that they were born here and still they can be a citizen automatically because they're under the authority of this whole process. They were born here in America, even though they were slaves. Okay, that's what the 14th Amendment is all about. The second 13th Amendment and the 14th Amendment should be combined into one, and the original 13th Amendment.
They say the 13th Amendment freed the slaves, and then the 14th Amendment made everybody a slave.
Well, again, it depends on how you interpret it. Okay? They changed meanings of words. Okay, look what they did with the word citizen. They made it. I'm not going to let them rob that word from me. They can change everything they want. They can change it in their books and the later issues of Black's Law. They could do whatever they want. It doesn't mean anything because it's a lie from hell. That's what it is. So
right, the etymology of the word citizen means public servant. It means slave.
Well, again, that's the meaning they give. That's the meaning they give.
National is the word you want to
well,
use.
Well, our founding fathers.
The word they still use in Europe, like France, Germany, Italy. They use nacional, which is where Nazi came from. So I'll show you the great lengths they went to poison the word Nazi. Because in all the European languages, nacional means nativity. Nativity.
All of that,
is a shipping term. Birth is a shipping term. It's the commercial term.
Yeah, look, I understand all the things you're talking about because I learned all that stuff myself. It's a long way in my past now, and because I found that nothing to do with me. Why am I going to waste my time with that? Why do I want to understand? Look, I understand the enemy enough. I don't need to understand them any more than I already understand them. We need to teach the people the truth, not the fiction. Okay. And therein is the problem. Your mind has been polluted with a lot of stuff, and you're putting too much emphasis and authority on certain things and things you have to. I don't have to do nothing. I got a beating heart. I'm free and independent. God gave me the authority over all things in the second chapter of Genesis. I'm already free. I'm already liberated. I don't need to do anything. They can make any claim they want and claim citizen means this, 14th Amendment means that. Doesn't mean anything to me because it's not true. It's a lie. Because, you know, you could just change the
meaning. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Most of it is built on lies. Layers and layers of lies.
Right. Anyway, we don't want to confuse people with all that stuff. People have learned about it, and it's not that it's not true, because what you're saying is true. They have structured things that way. That's the game. They're sick people. These people are sick, okay? And they've structured this whole thing, and they feel comfortable in it, thinking that they got the law. But no, they're subversive. They are the enemies of the people. They're the enemies of the Constitution. They're the enemies of the state. That's what they are. And that's all we need to know. We don't need to know their fiction. I really don't care about their fiction. I do see how they did it all, but I don't need to know all that. I need the common law and apply the common law in the courts, and that's justice. That'll bring you justice.
Yeah, a good exercise you could go through, I was doing some research into this, the case law from the habeas corpus, and you can just see when you start to research it on the Westlaw app, that you can just see how it was systematically subverted over time.
When you're going into Westlaw, when you're moving into Westlaw, now you're moving into comedy, and you're giving them more power, claiming that that is common law. The comedy, the decisions of trial courts, they use as the common law. Again, all a lie, has nothing to do with us. Why build anything upon it? Okay, has nothing to do with us. It's all part of their lot.
That's how you can see how it was subverted over time.
But people need to learn first how to be free. They need to learn to know due process. They need to learn to know the Constitution, the power and the authority of the people, where that power and authority comes from, the meaning of a lot of the words that we've talked about. That's what they need to know. All that other stuff, they don't need to know it. If they want to learn it later, that's fine. But if you teach it to them first, that becomes the structure that they operate, the framework that they operate by, and they polluted their own minds, and they're not going to get to the bottom line of the truth. That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you your final comment. You've got two other people, and it's getting very late, but I do want to get everybody.
That's it. But thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Okay, let's see. We've got, it looks like Barbara, the 612 number. You got the mic. What's your state?
Oh, yes, hi. This is Krisma, and I'm in Minnesota.
How you doing?
Thank you. It's been a really interesting conversation. Thank you for that. I had two questions. One I lost, but the one I do remember is coming together with various different types of groups like tactical civics, bridging the gap so that people can work together, you know, as a people. How do you
tactical civics doesn't work with other groups. I mean, we have put a lot of work into what we've done here. Okay, we've done a lot of research. Okay, and we've documented everything. We don't just say something and people will believe it and that's no. We documented. We lay the proof out. People can trace every conclusion we have. It's in footnotes, okay, and in memorandums. So we document everything. But we've talked to those people. A couple of problems I had with tactical civics, and maybe they can fix these problems. One of the problems is you really can't understand anything about them until you join as a member. Okay, that's a problem. I'm not joining any club until I know what that club is all about. I have enough passwords and things like that. You come to National Liberty Alliance, you get just about almost everything. You can look at everything on our website. We have a tremendous amount of, you don't have to be a member to really glean all the stuff we have on our website, okay? You do have to be a member to take the courses, but, you know, all the things that are in the courses are on our website anyway. So you could do this all on your own and go through the entire website. We get tremendous amounts of information. So that's a problem I found with them. The other problem I found is that they're not looking to work with other groups that have formed into certain things. We're not compatible with them in some ways. We could be if they would expand a little bit, and I presume that because I haven't been able to get into the website to really go deep into it, so I don't know. I can only know what people tell me, so I don't know. But the thing is this. We have a rounded plan, okay? And again, let me pull this up because this is where we started, okay? Now, county committees of safety is government by consent, structuring that with all the subcommittees and taking into play all of the things that need to be corrected by the certain committees. You have the judicial committee, have to make a lot of corrections. You got the educational committee, has to get a lot of teaching. People need to learn. You have to have correspondence committee to work with other committees and also with National Liberty Alliance. You have to have the militia committee because we, the people, are the militia, and we have to work with our sheriff. You have to have the political committee. You have to break up into the political subdivisions and work together with people sometimes in other counties and to bring people that within your political subdivision that you want to elect that represents you. You know, all these things have to be done, and we have to bring together, we have to take the courts back. We have to file papers in the courts. National Liberty Alliance through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has been doing that, okay? So we have to nullify the Rules Enabling Act. And all the committees got to work together. We got to support each other. The committees need to support what we're doing here, because we're trying to pave the way to bring the courts of justice back in to the people. And once you get the federal courts of justice back, slam dunk right down into the states, because we can have the federal courts require and order them to be obedient to the Constitution. And the committees of safety, we can remove them from power. Okay? We can indict them. We do all kinds of things. Okay? So all of these things have to work together. It's just, you can't just do one thing to make the solution. And as we're doing what we're doing, we need Trump and his administration doing what they're doing. They need to bring the economy back together again and control it. They need to bring business back into the United States. They need to bring us back under gold and silver. And they need to help us to force the courts also to be obedient to the people and to the Constitution. And all of these things have to work. You've got to do them all. Okay, but one person doesn't have to know it all. Okay, you learn what you can learn, and you move on, and over time you become more and more knowledgeable of things. You'll find a niche that you like. Maybe you want to work with the educational committee, so that's where you're going to spend most of your time, and other people doing that too, and you bring the minds together. Many hands or many minds make light work, you know. But we have to work together. No man is an island, okay? And you can't make your things a secret. You can't require people to join a club before you know what the club is all about, and so on. So, you know, so I don't, we tried to have communications. They're not interested. So that's the best I can tell you on that.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of other groups out there doing different things, and I just, yeah, I mean, if people aren't willing to be open about what it is they're doing and aren't willing to work with other with people, if we can't learn how to agree and or how to agree to disagree on certain facts and still work together, because we're all in this process as really one body, we the people.
We support the Republic Review. They're doing something a little different than we're doing. We also see that it's something that's a necessity and helpful to what we're doing also. So we work together. We're compatible. They don't necessarily involve themselves with all we're doing. What they're doing is working, trying to work through the states, trying to get something going where the states come together to get rid of a lot of bad legislation and different things that the federal government has taken authority over that they don't have the power of the authority because we didn't give it to them, and we have to fix those problems. That's what the Republic Review is all about. We support that, okay? We support we the people. We're compatible in the sense that Bob Schultz is doing with we the people is not affecting in a negative way what we're doing, and it works together. He has a little bit of a different idea. It's an interesting idea, and it doesn't injure us, and it's compatible with us. We can work with him. And so we'll work with a lot of groups. There are groups that we can't work with because they're not compatible.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I did remember my second question. It was about assemblies and
we're not compatible.
Committees of safety. Well, you just said you were not compatible with assemblies. And if you could speak a little more on that.
There's also a lot of confusion with the assemblies because there's been a lot of factions from that. They've broken away. And some of them we may be compatible with, okay? It depends on what they bring to the table. Like the main part of that structure when it originally started, okay, or if you go back to the roots, okay, they're also building an interim government, which is a government alongside the government, okay? And people are claiming to be judges. It depends on the depthness of where they went with this, because again, you have then so many different influences coming from so many different people teaching so much different things and things that we don't need to know. Not that necessarily they're wrong, but we just don't get confused with all that stuff, you know? And that's what happens. You have Anna von Ritz, who took it into another direction. And the original guy that did this on the assemblies, he went to jail, and he was the president, and you have governors, and you have people who are judges. I had a call from one group of these people where they wanted us to use the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury to bring some indictments against some individuals and bring some enforcement, and really got wacky, and you know, that's subversion. Not necessarily that the government that has taken control, well, the subversive that have taken control of our government, that's one thing. But the bottom line, even that's subversion by trying to create, you know, and the people are not qualified to have those positions. You know, they're just grabbing people and filling a position. What kind of an education are they being given? What kind of knowledge do they know about the position that they're trying to take, you know? What they need to be doing is working with committees of safety to find people who are qualified and support them and get them onto the ballot and bring them into office. Okay, that's what we need to be doing, but not claiming the position. I'm the governor of this state, or I'm the mayor of this place, or I'm the judge of this thing, and they create these titles and give themselves authority. And I don't know what they're actually doing behind the closed doors, because I don't know what they're doing, you know. But it's kind of dangerous. Matter of fact, some of those people have gone to jail. We had two committees.
Yeah.
We've had two committees of safety. One down in Florida, been subverted, moved into that direction. We had to write a paper on that. You can read those papers on National Liberty Alliance under the Welcome tab, where we put disclaimers, okay? And one guy down there died in jail because he did this man on the land stuff, wouldn't respond because his letters were caps, and they were on the, and he was on the grand jury, okay? Matter of fact, he was the foreman of the grand jury. But that guy ended up in jail, and he died in jail, okay? We had a group of people, I think it was Colorado, where a lot of those people went to jail too. We cut ourselves off as soon as we realized that they're going down the subversive path and that we're here trying to fix the problem, but we are staying with our founding fathers. We're staying with Supreme Court rulings. We're staying with the facts, with the law of the land, and you can't put someone in jail for that. Eventually they will, but they're not doing it yet. But again, they have been cut off at the path. Trump is cutting out the head of the snake. So, okay, final thing, because we've got to move on. I got one other person. I don't want to leave without finishing that one person. Okay, thank you. Okay, we got someone from New Jersey. You got the mic. What's your first name? Last caller.
Okay, that must be me.
How did you? I'm
from New Jersey. Good, okay. Evening.
Good evening.
Okay. Yeah, I was listening to this, but the thing is, if you don't rebut the presumption that you're not a serf and you're a free man, you have to have an affidavit with the Secretary of State. I understand what you're saying there, and I don't disagree, and I do appreciate the common law and whatever, but there, this is what the edge that they're using against us. So
I go to a court, when I go into the court and I write my first paper, I start off with my name, and I am one of the people of New York, and then I move on to the case. That's all I have to do. That just laid everything about, everything who I am. I'm one of the people. We the people ordained and established this Constitution. We vested you with the powers and the authorities that you have. We vested you with these things, and we could take it away from you because we can indict you or we can recall you, okay? That's the attitude we have to have with these people, and that takes care of the whole thing. So once that's a court of record, and you say, I, your name, one of the people of New York in this court of record, and then you move from there. If you're suing, then you're suing, or you're responding, whatever the case may be, as a defendant, but you should, of course, do everything you can to be the plaintiff, and you just got to be careful with words like complaint. Complaint is a civil law word. It has to do with civil law. It has nothing to do with common law. That's a complaint. We have actions. I go into court. I have an action. They can start off with a complaint.
No, we're filing a claim against them. A claim.
I have no
we're
claim.
A man.
Nope, I don't have a claim. I have an action. An action at law. That's what that is. You go into Black's Law Dictionary, go into Bouvier's Dictionary. It is an action at law. I have an action. Okay? It's not an Article 78. I'm not under civil law or any of those things. So you have to be careful with words. All right? Now, there are words that they try to claim hold of, like citizen. We had a lot of discussion on that. But citizen is a word that they try to claim to mean something else, but it doesn't mean what they... You're a citizen of whatever the structure. We're a citizen of a republic, a natural law republic. I want to be a citizen of God. You know, ultimately, because it's a covenant with God, it does kind of bring you into the citizenship of God. And that's why God has blessed this nation, even though it's come as Sodom and as Gomorrah. Nevertheless, he has blessed this nation. His people are in this nation. People all around the world, but United States of America was founded on the law of God. Again, the only nation, the second in history to have done that, the first 1600 BC, which was Israel. We are the second nation to have done that, 1776, with the Declaration of Independence, a covenant with God to be under his law, to receive his blessings. and protection. And our founding fathers believed that they were protected by God as they fought the revolution and did the things they did. But so we just got to be careful with certain language. But I don't get lost in this, man. It doesn't have any value in a court. It doesn't. Matter of fact, they look at you. They make you a nut. They know what you're talking about, by the way. When you bring these things, they know exactly, on the federal level anyway, they know exactly what you're talking about. But they'll make you a crazy, okay? You're a nut. Look at this nut over here bringing this crazy stuff up, because that's a problem too. Why get lost in those conversations? Let's get into the court case. Let's get to the nuts and bolts. Let's fix the problem. Let's win the case on the paper. Even if they don't allow us to win, we win it on the paper. We'll resurrect it later. Once we get courts of justice.
Yeah, well, they're trying to presume that we're a serf, and they're presuming that we're an employee of the federal, Washington, D.C. Well, I'm a New Jerseyan, you're a New Yorker, and they have no, I believe in the Republic. Hey, I went to school, I raised my hand, and I do believe that this is a republic.
I am a citizen of New York. I am a citizen of the United States. Meaning being that when I'm driving through New Jersey, if something happens and I end up in court or have to go into court, whatever the case may be, I'm a citizen of that state. I have all the rights and the authority of anyone in New Jersey, Pennsylvania. If I'm in Pennsylvania when that happens, or Texas, or Montana, or any place, I'm a citizen of all these states. I've chosen to live in New York to maintain myself as a citizen of New York. But if I'm in Jersey and a problem arises and I have to go into the courts, no problem. I have those powers and authorities, the abilities as if I was in New York, as same as in Jersey. It doesn't matter. So, again, it's all a play on words. They just try to divide us. They try to change meanings of words and play games and create contracts and claim contracts. I mean, look, for a contract to exist, it has to be a meeting of the minds. No meeting of the minds.
I very much agree with you there. These bar attorneys are just evil people there. And, we need to resist that. And I don't pretend to be a surfer. I pretend to be a man. Trying to live under God's law, under unalienable, God-given, unalienable rights there. So, right. I agree with you there. I'm not in conflict with you, and I do appreciate you trying to bring the common law, because we need to be, this is America, we still have the common law in America, and these people have hijacked these courts, bar attorneys and under the Constitution. But the problem is, if you don't rebut your presumption that they're a serf under Washington, D.C., they're under the presumption that you're an employee of Washington, D.C. there. So,
when you're in the courts?
Well,
we'll just in that,
an affidavit is stands in commerce there. So if you put an affidavit in there and nobody rebuts that affidavit, it stands. So okay, if I put an affidavit in court and nobody rebuts it, then I guess everybody's in agreement there. So that's a documented thing there.
It's a fraud. If they have hijacked you into jurisdictions unknown and you haven't known that they hijacked you into that, in itself is a fraud and is a crime. Okay? So once you realize that, then you could deal with it from that perspective. Okay? And that's the important thing to realize. But look, in the law of the land, there are two court systems. There's an equity court and there is a court of law. An equity court is an administrative court. ALJs, administrative law judges, every judge, every state judge is an ALA, He was an administrative law, ALJ judge. Every single one of them, administrative law judge. That means they deal with statutes and regulations and, you know, all of the equity, all of the legislation that is written for whatever it is that they think they've opened that jurisdiction up for. All of that has nothing to do with me, okay? So when I go into a court and I open a court of record, they always try to change and move my jurisdiction. I make the correction of that and move on, and that's that. I don't make too big of a stink of it, but I do make my correction and move on. All you have to do is say two things to put you in the proper jurisdiction. Okay, I, your name, one of the people of New York in this court of record, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, that's all you got to do. You just stated everything, who you are, what your status is, And you've also stated the fact that the jurisdiction is a court of record, which means one that proceeds according to the common law. No administrative law judges permitted. They don't belong in my court. They come in, they have to put on their magistrate hat. The magistrate then has to be obedient to the jury, and they have to then apply the law as defined by the jury. They can't add to it. They can't take away from it. They can't try to influence it. They can't make any summary judgments. They can't change the decisions. None of those things. Okay? They do, of course, because they're evil, and they've been trained to do evil. You know, most esquires, a.k.a. bar attorneys, most esquires don't understand what that means. That first of all, that is a title of honor. And the original 13th Amendment, which I believe was 1918 when that became law, the original 13th Amendment.
Yeah, it's a title of nobility in the Constitution.
No, it's not a title of nobility. It's a title of honor. A title of nobility is inherited. Okay.
Well, the Constitution prohibits that.
You see, the founding fathers, they missed that. Okay, when they wrote the Constitution, they spoke about titles of nobility. Okay, but they didn't speak about titles of honor. A title of honor is one who ordained with.
Somebody don't want me to hear your.
The title of honor.
Confrontation there. Shut me down there.
Can you hear me? A title of honor, okay, is an esquire is a title of honor. An esquire dies, their children don't.
I lost you.
Okay. Did anyone else lose me? Am I still coming through, by the way?
I guess I must have hit a nerve there. They don't want to honor my.
I don't know.
That's how they are. They're not honorable. They're a bunch of scumbags there.
All right, well, I'm going to proceed as if I'm being heard, so it's being recorded anyway. So, but the bottom line, though, is a title of honor, okay? An esquire is a title of honor. A title of nobility is something that's inherited. Their children inherit those titles, okay? Therein is the difference. When our founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they wrote it into the title of nobility. You cannot have a position of honor, okay? Then they realized they didn't get the title of honor, which is an esquire, or a knight, or a gentleman. Those are all titles of honor. Okay, they don't pass that on to their children, so it's not inherited, and so therefore that particular position they dealt with the original 13th Amendment, which I believe was 1818, so that became. That's when they added that because they missed it, and they fixed it with that. That's how founding fathers put that 13th Amendment in there. So we have to resurrect that, and we have to take it back. So, okay, hopefully I am still coming through, but that is the last person in the queue. We're an hour over time. I wanted to continue tonight because I didn't want to leave anyone in the queue with this particular unanswered questions with this particular subject matter, which is about who we are here at National Liberty Alliance, what we're doing, and the only way to save this nation. There is no other way. I know if anybody knows of another way to do something to bring this nation back onto its back on track again and back under the Constitution. And they're aware of anything else. We'd love to talk with those people if you know of anybody. Maybe they got something going on that we missed too. I don't know. So we need to learn it. But I haven't heard anything. There's nothing. We've been doing this for a long time, and nobody has brought anything up. There's no one way to fix this nation. We have to fix this nation completely through government by consent, which only can be done through committees of safety. We have to work together, and without doing that, united we stand, divided we shall fall. And we have fallen already. We need to get back up. So, anyway, education, create committees of safety, get involved. All right, I guess that ends our program for the night. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. Good night.